good clean humor right there. It's good stuff. Oh my god. Wake up. Too loud. You're spiking the thing.
It's not spikes. Those are love humps.
It's getting late. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense when it gets too late.
Those are humor waves.
Yeah. This is, measures how funny we are.
Yeah. See?
And we hit the red. See, I like this theory.
See, look right here. Not funny at all. It's fucking flatlining. Beep. See, even that's a little bit funny. Welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
Soy Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode 10-something of...
You go with 105?
This podcast.
106, 105. Who cares?
106,
why are we so bad at this?
After episode 100, we just stopped caring.
Well, we had a hard time up to 100 as well.
We don't care. You don't care. It's a big circle jerk and not caring. Speaking of circle jerks, how's your week been, Hot Sauce?
Starting with me, really? Just like that.
Yeah.
My God. I don't have anything to talk about, really, man. I mean, like...
All right, so yeah.
Please, move along.
Really, that much?
No. The thing is that Mass Effect Andromeda... video game I got for the PC, personal computer.
Oh my god.
It is midnight, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're going to happen here tonight. Here we go.
So this game, this is a perfect storm happened with this game. As in, I got done, as you guys have heard, that my fake grass and all this stuff, and I had like a big party for my girlfriend and all this stuff. So like basically all these bunch of things that I had going on, like home projects and big stuff going on, and then pretty much everything ended, and now I'm just waiting for a job with no real like priority things to do around the house or just with my life in general besides waiting. Perfect storm is that and Mass Effect Andromeda comes out, and I fucking played, so it came out, okay, it's been out for 10 days, right?
Apparently you
tell me. Been out for 10 days. How many hours do you think I've played in 10 days?
70.
That's a pretty good guess. Not quite. It's about 52.
Okay.
But for me, this is not normal. Like, no, I don't play 52. That's like half a year for me of video games. I don't play video games that much.
I think you're lowballing that number. But I think your point you're trying to get to is you don't spend that much time on one game.
Dude, I play very little video games when in the big grand scheme of things. Like, I play probably like every 3 days for maybe like 3 or 4 hours, I'd hope to. But I mean, every day, absolutely not. Even when I've been laid off, I've just been doing other stuff. And even if I'm not doing other stuff, I'm just like watching a movie or TV or whatever, seeing some friends or some shit like that. So it's unusual, but I have been waking up, jerk off, take a shit, get some breakfast, lunch, whatever.
Should be
lunch.
Poop while you're on the toilet, jerk off.
Yeah, whatever. Do it all at once.
Dude, try it like I do it one time.
Literally, dick in one hand, plate of food in the other hand, like burritos. That's like one-handed.
iPad, so you can look at the porn.
Well, the iPad is sitting, actually a Samsung tablet, whatever, because, you know, tablet, fuck Apple. Tablet. It's sitting, you know, widescreen mode in front of me on top of my like magazine stack or whatever. So I'm all ready.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, like it's all
you've got the mirror set up for jacking off quite nicely.
Yeah, that's all. But like burritos,
I hate your toilet seat. I hate those fucking the cushion ones.
Dude,
that's my most hated toilet seat of all time.
I know, me too.
Like, I hate those so fucking
much. When we moved in,
at least you can't crack that one, hopefully.
I haven't cracked it yet.
Old school.
I haven't cracked it yet. Well, the other ones are made out of fucking, you just can't have them made out of particle board. When you crack it, I look at it and it's just like little shitty wooden fibers in there. I'm like, make them out of plastic, make them out of one solid piece of wood. And
my ass is too big for this.
Yeah, I don't know. My ass is powerful. I have no idea why it breaks toilet seats, but it does.
So you're a power top or power bottom?
Whatever, dude. It's power something. Whatever.
Obviously,
breaks toilet
his
seats.
Bottom is very powerful.
Something like
if it's
that.
Breaking toilets.
Right. So, anyways, yeah, I get all that done. And then I have like a recliner in my office. And I would like
say recliner in the bathroom.
I gotta cut a hole in the bottom of that son of a bitch.
One of these days I'll get around to it.
So I can be comfortable and pooping?
Yeah. Until then, I'm
remember that Home Improvement episode
and
when I did that?
Wearing the footy pajama one? No.
Home Improvement, you ever watch that show at all?
Yeah, when I was a kid, man. I just
on their fucking like TV show, on the show, they did like a man cave bathroom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They had like a fucking like recliner shitter.
Yeah, that'd be great. And have a cooler on the side and like whatever.
I mean, I just want to go ahead and point out that one of you was trying to make a Family Guy reference. The other one was making a Home Improvement reference.
There it is.
There's some disparity in the... See, even the levels are agreeing with me. Look at them.
The levels are low.
Yeah.
The levels are low.
Low.
The funny meter's gone.
Very,
yeah.
Very low levels.
So I have this recliner that I don't poop on. I'm not yet. Not yet. Soon as possible. It's like next project. I push it over in front of my computer screen. And I just push the computer chair, getting the fuck out of there.
Is it hard to sit in it when it's all pushed over like that?
No.
It's so stupid.
Stop it.
Well,
stop
you said it. I just pushed it over.
I get where your joke's coming from. It was still stupid.
I'm sorry you're angry with your life. Just don't take it out of the furniture.
You get additional height if you sit on the armrest part on the side, okay? So anyways, God, I can move on. Jesus Christ.
This is how it's going to be, bud. I feel like it.
Yeah, we're going to keep the segment short because everything's going to be like really long in itself. Anyways, the whole point is that I'm being like the laziest gamer ever, sitting in my fucking recliner in front of my computer desk with my monitor and all that shit, gamepad in hand, and just playing this game as long as I can until like shit happens. Like I have to go do something. I don't know. Someone calls me. I'm like obligated to do something. But this whole week has been nothing but that. And the only time that I need like a break from that, I should say, and I'm still doing nothing at home, is I watched the entire season minus this last episode of Legion on FX. It's an X-Men TV show. Yeah, well, no, it's literally X-Men. It's not, I mean, esque is far, as far as like being kind of, you know, the normal Marvel universe.
X-Men.
They are actual X-Men. Yeah, they have like the X in the logo of Legion.
Gotcha.
And Legion is an X-Men from the comics. And Legion is like supposed to be like the most powerful of all the X-Men.
I did not know that.
Right. So,
which, fuck that. Nightcrawler's the best.
Right, the best for sure, yeah. But not the most powerful.
Catches all the fish.
So, this guy is like, he's like one of those, I guess, he can
defeat Aquaman.
Yes. God, what
God
a talent.
Damn it.
fuck, dude. So, this show is
I'm
like,
so happy with myself right now.
Yes, you should
go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
This show is, I was talking last episode about this movie Enemy.
Right.
Jake Gyllenhaal movie. In the way that, and it's like that in the way that when you have to let the episodes just like happen to you, because you're gonna have questions constantly through the whole fucking thing, and if you don't just like force yourself to watch it, you're gonna be, I don't know, if you're looking for like instant reward and you want to like watch the show and understand the show every second along the way, this is not your show. If you're interested in something that you can watch it and go online later and like look at what people like are interpreting, what like breadcrumbs are leaving, all that shit I talked about last time. And this is up your fucking alley. This is like a psychological thriller.
You can easily not just an action drama. You can easily just question yourself right out of the series. Meaning that you're watching it and you're just like, oh, what the fuck did that mean? What the fuck did that mean? Well, fuck this show.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Because like you said, there's no instant gratification of, okay, I don't understand. Well, that's the fucking point. You're not supposed to understand right away.
Yeah, there was an episode in the middle that like there was no payoff for the whole episode. It was one whole episode of like, it all meant something. But it's all like psychological thriller. Like I said, it's like in a person's head a lot of the time and whatever else. And you have to wait like you have to watch a whole hour long episode and then the next episode, then the payoff's there. It's super weird. Usually there's payoff, you know, sprinkled in every 5 minutes from action sequences to like conversation and whatever else it goes to. This is not like that. It's super weird, but, it's amazing. And they got really good actors to star and everything. So, I mean, if you're interested in something that's going to sort of blow your mind, take you for a fucking ride, then this is an absolutely fantastic, like a fantastic show.
Okay,
such a good show.
Let me just go ahead and stop, and we'll do a little guy corner here. So what's that chick's name?
Aubrey Plaza.
Okay, so
I fucking love her.
So
right?
She is like she's there. There is something about her. I mean, she's like hot, but there's like something about her that's just like more than that, you know what I mean? But at the same time,
like she's got some quirkiness to her. There's something like sexual
and there's
about
lots
her.
Of quirkiness and like the slight evil that's in
yeah,
her.
And then like she has
that
very
dark side of her is just like
very
okay.
Good bedroom eyes also. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like she's almost like the slightly derp face. You know what
sometimes,
I mean?
Sometimes.
And so
we just mentioned the waitress from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
exactly.
Not exactly the same, but like it's like 80% that.
Yeah, but like so I watched one episode of that show. Not that I was like actively trying to watch it, but I was at work and some of the dudes were watching it, and so I sat down and watched it, and yeah, I was like, what the fuck's going on? But then she came on and I was just like,
okay, I'm in.
Oh my god, you are just so goddamn sexy. Like,
so,
I couldn't stand it. I just pulled my dick out right there in front of the guys. And just,
so, I will say
well,
that,
I do that to you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I'm management. I do what I want.
The actual main chick looks like if Margot Robbie is a 10 out of 10, which she is, maybe an 11 out of 10.
Harley Quinn.
Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn. She's a 10 out of 10. This chick looks almost exactly like her, but it's more like an 8.5 out of 10. So it's still fantastic, and you get all these things from her, but it's not like the same like level of sexiness and like the eyes and all that kind of those like traits.
Right.
It doesn't have that X factor. But besides that, you're like, yeah, she looks really good. That's the main chick. Then there is the I don't remember her name, but the wife of Brian in The League. You know, like the kind of mom, whatever chick. Right. Not the Latin sexy bitch, but the other one. But she looks good.
The white woman.
And she was a good white woman. And she is an Jenny. She's really good. Jenny, thank you. Perfect. Then there is
even,
someone
so
else.
So even in though
there.
Like we're talking about actresses and the parts that they play aren't like actually indicative of their own personalities, but I feel like the parts that they play, the personality of the character is like something that attracts me to them as well. Jenny is obviously hilarious.
Yeah.
What's her name is funny and evil, you
I'll
know.
Be positive, yeah.
Yeah.
So besides that, there's also one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords in it. If you guys like that.
Yeah.
Flight of the Conchords I think is pretty dope. It was like a flash
that robot in the song the first episode was amazing.
Flash in a pan for sure. Like, you know, it was a really, really good thing for the time, but like it didn't stand the test of time.
I think it lasted two
seasons.
But
it was really fun for 2 months, you know what I mean? So that he one of the guys in there and he plays like the perfect character. I can't tell you anything about it, but he plays like the perfect character for his personality. Like they nail it, and it's exciting to watch him. And once again, when I tell you these things, you're not going to understand what's going on. You just have to wait for the payoff, and then when they're going to answer all the main questions, but then all the little nuanced stuff, you're going to have to go online or just be a really big into movies and like really
smart.
Understand direction. You know, like yeah, movie smart. You want to say that? You know what I mean? Like understand directing, understand art, understand all that kind of stuff, which I don't. But I still appreciate this, and I love the show, you know. I'm not going to say that it's a 10 out of 10 because it's not quite there, but I probably would give it – I'd probably give it a 9.
Wait, are we talking about Legion still?
Yeah.
Okay,
probably
good.
Give it a 9. Yeah, 9 out of 10.
I just started thinking about women.
Yeah. 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 And I wouldn't give Aubrey Plaza a 10 out of 10 either, but there's just something about it that's like really good, you know.
Yeah,
really
it's
important.
Like, it's like at a certain age you realize that like – a hot body is not
right.
All
she's
of
got
it,
like,
you know what I mean?
She's got like the 7, 7.5 going on, but then she has this extra stuff that pumps her into like the 9 range.
Because
have you seen Dirty Grandpa or Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates? She's in both of those.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You get
yeah.
to see her ass, and she's got a nice ass.
Well, I just mean like I remember specifically like sometime in like junior high, me and my buddy were just like we came to the realization like, man, there's like hot girls and they're just like complete bitches and it turns you off from them completely. And then there's like, you know, the 6 or 7 and she's just awesome.
Yes.
You know, fun to hang out with, funny, fucking gets what it is to, you know, not be a bitch and stuff. And it just like makes them like jump
up. Way hotter than that then.
So, I mean, I know we're being pigs, but, you know, it's
whatever.
Like, there's definitely personality.
Yeah, girls are going to have the same thing with us. It's not like girls are going to every single time like stick with the guy that is the best looking. Like every girl has that story of like, I have been with this guy that was like the 12th
I was 16
star.
And only wanted to fuck the assholes.
Right.
I grew up with
you know? So they're going to have these stories and these memories about like this previous dude or whatever that's going to be like better looking, bigger cock and all the other better stuff.
You know,
but still, that's why we're here. We actually won the final
It's
thing,
funny you mention that because when I was 16, I only wanted to fuck assholes too. Yes. Slipped it in there.
Yeah.
Pun intended?
We'll just leave that one up in the air.
I don't think I have anything else to say. I think that's. I think I'm done. I've just been doing that. That's it. It's been great. I'm waiting for a job still. I'm just like waiting every day. I'm going to go to Disneyland this weekend. That'll be cool.
Right on.
Disneyland, you know? Why not? Other than that, man, I have nothing to talk about.
What about you, Crow?
A few things. Like, I enjoy the show The Flash. Like, I know there's some quirkiness and some things about it that aren't, like, fantastic, but I enjoy the show. From there, I was sitting there bored, up, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and decided to start watching DC Legends of Tomorrow, which is
never heard of it.
It's another one of those, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. type of thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, not main fucking heroes, but it's side heroes.
So do you
that
like
are,
Agents
like,
of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
Okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I couldn't
is,
do it. I watched, like, 4 episodes, and I was forced through the whole
dude,
4 episodes. I couldn't handle it. It was so bad.
A bad like, it encompasses a lot of the directing moves that I'm like, no. You're not taking like the time to get this shit done right. You feel like everything is like on like a super strict schedule or something like that.
Yeah.
And like the cues are not right. The acting's not correct. Like the pacing is bad. Like I don't care what the story is and how good the actors are. Like there's other, it's not even the actors that are fucking up. It's everyone else behind the scenes is just fucking that show up so bad. Dude.
Well, it's like they think that the intellectual property of it's going to carry it and it's not. me too. I watch like two episodes because I'm like, ugh. Oh, cool, it's on Netflix or like whatever. Yeah. And yeah, totally so hard. Left me flaccid.
So bad. So I saw, you know, I had the same thought looking at DC Legends of Tomorrow. I wasn't going to watch it. And then I happened to notice that in like the cover art for like, you know, the title of it, I noticed a couple of characters that are from, that are in the Flash TV show. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give it a shot because of this. You know, there's Firestorm and different things. And then so I'm like, okay, go ahead and watch it. And I'll preface this by saying that if my wife hadn't had introduced me to Doctor Who a couple of years ago now.
You like Doctor Who?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I like it for what it is because if you can sit there and take this quirkiness of it and get past like the first. Okay, I'm only talking about the newer Doctor Who. I'm not going to the old school stuff. I haven't watched that stuff. But like the first season of the new Doctor Who, is it's really hard to get through. And my wife, you know, she told me that. Like this is going to be rough to get through. And then you get past that and what the fuck's that guy's name? Anyways, the show gets a little better, and there's like some quirkiness to it, and you can get past the cheesy level of it and just kind of sit back and enjoy. Then you can enjoy the show. I also wouldn't have watched the show through without my wife, you know, showing me and asking me to watch it with her. So from there, like, but I have a respect for it. I understand, mm-hmm. like, because I can get down with cheesy. That's fine. But if I had no watch Doctor Who before watching DC Legends of Tomorrow, I would not enjoy it, I don't believe. But I will say that, in my opinion, from the get-go, like, watching DC Legends of Tomorrow, it gives me that feeling of, like, an Americanized Doctor Who.
Okay.
It's time travel stuff. It's different things going on. There's some quirkiness to it. There's also more aggression going on. There's different characters going on in it. But if you like that cheesy, quirky level of things to it, if you enjoy Doctor Who and are into the DC universe at all, I'd say check it out.
You know what that leads into a little bit? Just the new Power Rangers movie, which I have not seen and no one here has.
No, not yet.
But I can already tell that it's going to be, like, corny and, like, just have this like character to it that is, I feel like it's gonna like represent what it was and not be like a remake that doesn't make sense for like what it was because it's supposed to be.
Let's say if it's not corny, it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It needs to be silly. Like, it can't be too serious. It has to be over the top.
So I'm hoping that I haven't seen it, but I'm hoping that's like what I'm gonna get. You know what I mean? I got like high expectations that they're gonna make it for people in their 30s and not make it for like Transformers where it's just for everybody and just has like no meaning. You know, behind
Michael
it,
Bay.
Yeah.
So I mean. I'm not going to sit here and, like, recommend it to everybody by any means. Like, I don't even think it's a fantastic show or anything like that, but I can enjoy it based on me enjoying Doctor Who with my wife.
We talked about The Flash that, like, I gave it two chances, and I don't think it's a bad show. It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. It has a couple things that I'm like, oh, this is really fun, and then it has a couple things that I'm like, nah, the feel of the show is not maybe, like, quite serious enough. Maybe, like, the lighting's too bright. There's something about it that makes it feel like it's not taking itself very seriously,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it doesn't feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. quite that bad or something like that because it's not a bad.
No, show. In comparison between those two shows, I would give fucking in DC Legends of Tomorrow versus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I fucking give DC Legends of Tomorrow a 10 out of 10 compared to fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right, right. It's pretty.
I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is fucking hot garbage.
Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is in that really low tier of TV that just like it just. They don't care, like,
yeah, like about like anything. It's numbers. Literally about them. You know,
yeah, they just I feel like they just don't care. Like, they got no passion behind it. It's just a bunch of people that think they can put it together. And they had, like, a quota. I don't know. You know, whatever. Give me business reasons why this show even exists, basically, rather than someone that was, like, really passionate about it. Maybe one guy is, you know, that is, like, the sole creator of it is just like, I love this. And everyone else has just got thrown in the mix. And it's like, well, just whatever. We'll see what we can do, you know? Bummer.
So, sticking on that DC theme, I found a new app on the OS systems, my iPad. I believe it's also on the fucking, what do you guys use, the fucking Samsung stuff?
Google Store.
Android. So, you know how me and Knife, we love fucking Galaxy of Heroes. So, there is a DC Legends game that is the same as Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. In the sense that it is the same style. It has the same build around it. I feel like they stole things from Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes to make this their own. It's in the earlier stages. Yes.
Got it.
It's in the earlier stages, so like it's not refined by any means yet. There's still a lot of things they need to work on, things they need to steal from the Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes game. But from that point, it's another style like that, so I'm going to give it a chance and play it from this earlier stage to hope that it gets refined like the more and more how Galaxy of Heroes has been.
A bunch of my buddies play it, and they'll be like talking about it. And then I'm like, that. What you're describing sounds exactly like Galaxy Heroes.
It is spot on.
And they're like, you should download it. And then in my head, I'm like, yeah, I should. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, I've already spent so much time in Galaxy Heroes. Do I really want to, like, invest all that time?
Even if it was good and you liked it, you're just like, what am I doing? Like, I can't just do this all over again.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I'm playing, like I said, I'm playing it still right now because I want to hopefully be there from the beginning of it. so that when it gets refined, I have the, you know, have the leg up. But it is kind of hard to play right now in comparison to Galaxy Heroes because it's not refined yet. So, but it is a fun game.
When I get a chance, I didn't really talk about Mass Effect Andromeda. I want to get that in there sometimes.
Take it now. Hour. Go for it. That was kind of end of my DC Legends.
Okay.
I enjoy it, but if you like Galaxy Heroes at all, it's similar style, so check it out.
And yeah, it's a different universe, right? So yeah, like, maybe exactly. You like that more. That kind of shit matters. You know, if you're into the universe, that matters.
Yeah.
Mass Effect Andromeda. The game is getting a lot of flack. You guys have seen the reviews are like not good about it, you know? It's getting like
graphics
kinda,
and shit. And...
So that's the thing is that the graphics... I heard that
a rebuttal answer for everybody why it looks shitty.
I feel like I have a lot of stuff to say about it, but I'm not going to go too far.
No, I meant not you, but I heard the developers had a response to everybody talking about how shitty the graphics
are.
They
said, fuck you!
Yeah, I didn't read the article because I don't care about the game.
Blame on other people, probably. So, the game is beautiful. Okay, let me get that out of the way. That the game, I'm playing it on PC, and I have a good PC, but still, I can imagine, I haven't seen it on Xbox or PS4 or whatever else it's on, but it seems like it'd be good looking on there, but... like just when you get close, like the textures, like the foliage, the even like the characters themselves, like their armor or clothes or whatever, like the detail is amazing, you know, as far as that. But the biggest problem people have are the faces and the facial animations. And they got like when games, so like there's an example of this in Forza, the cars ended up, the graphics on the cars ended up being where they wanted. It got, like, to the peak. Like, this car, this Ferrari, looks identical to real Ferrari as far as what video games, like, can do now. Like, this looks perfect. So, when you get to something that looks so perfect and clean, the only way to make it look better is to make it look worse. And put, like, dust on it, paint chips in the bumper, like, make it more real, not just perfect. Because perfect is nothing that you never see that. You want to see, like... whatever. So it gets to
you
like...
You make it Tarkin and not Princess Leia. That's what you're saying.
That's it. Right, no. So then you make... So what happens with these
that's
games...
That's a fucking spot-on analogy.
No,
fuck you.
No.
Should it be flipped?
You make...
No, because Tarkin has all the
wrinkles,
you know, all the sunspots.
that's what
skin cancer.
In that sense, it is. So, like, they did that too much, where they made every face have too many imperfections. So, like, the faces, because they're... They're really up close. When they do like the dialogue, it is like the face is the whole screen. And so you got this like 3 foot face in front of you. And it's like you get to see like all the spots and all
my dick
would
look so small in that mouth.
Whatever. Dude, all that looks like it's a little too much. And the other main thing that people are complaining about is the facial, like the dialogue, when you see the lips move and like actually try to enunciate words, or whatever, it looks sloppy with no like it looks robotic. And it doesn't have, like, any feel to it. Like, other games, even, like, Grand Theft Auto has, like, pretty great facial animations for, like, when people are shooting the shit. They have, like, this crook in their mouth and this little stupid smile and all this shit that kind of, like, makes you feel exactly what the person's saying. Like, it matches perfectly. This does not have that. It's all robots. That sucks. And so that's one thing that, you know, I totally agree is a problem. And there's a lot of bugs. A lot of bugs where, so far, I've had nothing that's, like, game-breaking in the sense that I couldn't complete a mission or something like that, but I've had some close calls where you walk up to a person that is your, like, next priority thing. You have to talk to this person to get a mission or whatever, you know,
yeah,
Skyrim, Fallout, all that shit, you know? And you walk up to the person, and you can't talk to them. Like, it won't let you. You try to, like, walk around them in different ways and, like, set up, like, you know, your distance from them. Make sure you're not too close, make sure you're not too far, and you keep doing this back and forth to, like, finally get the button to, like, pop up on the screen.
They still have, like, all these, like, typical bugs that were all in the first Mass Effect, which is why I fell out of that series.
So, yeah, but they didn't have these bugs in, like, 2 and 3, which is really weird.
Well, they had in the first one. That's why I never played the series, because the first game was fucking
yeah, so now, like, so that's bothersome, but it's never, it's always resolved itself, but, like, it just takes time sometimes. And I've had where, like, one instance, which I've played the game for, like, 50 hours, but one instance where it had on your map, like, where to go to, and then I would go to that spot, and when I got to that spot, it would move the icon of where I need to go to a different spot. And I'm like, okay. So I go to that spot, and then it went back to the first spot, and I'm like, well, I'm not doing this mission. Like, this makes no fucking sense. Like, why is it doing this to me? And so that was annoying. But besides that, I think it's a really great game. Maybe not great's a strong word, but I'm really liking it. It's like something like Borderlands or something like that, where the world is just really open, and there's just missions aplenty and tons of stuff to see, and the worlds are like they're kind of too big. It's like open world to like the max, which Mass Effect's never been like open world in this way. They've been like sort of open world in like 1, but 2 and 3 were pretty linear in most of its gameplay. This one now, you're just like in the buggy, constantly searching for stuff, loot, just like it's nonstop. It's now it's more like Fallout or Skyrim than the other ones. And it was kind of halfway between, but now it's like fully blown that way. It's really big, biggest game I've ever played, honestly. The maps are like, you know, 8 minutes doing 60 miles per hour in a car to get from one side of the map to the other. And there's like multiple, you know, many planets to go to. And it's pretty daunting, but yeah. Last thing I can say is that the gunplay, just like, you know, Destiny or what other kind of games are like that are like, there's some games that are just spot on in their gunplay. I think Destiny is one of those games. And some people could say like Halo or Call of Duty is, but those are like extremes. So it's kind of hard to say in that way, because they're like, there's one that's a twitch shooter and one is like a slow shooter, like a Gears of War one. Mm-hmm. They're all doing their thing perfectly, but I think like in the middle match, I think that this hits that just like Destiny does. It's like right in the middle. The motions are not as quick as Call of Duty, but not as slow as Halo, and it feels really, really good killing some fucking enemies. I never get tired of it. I kind of feel that way with Gears of War, even though it's way slow. Gears of War feels perfect to me, shooting enemies. Like it's like unbeatable for like what they wanted to do. It feels unbeatable, but this meets in the middle and it's really fucking good. So I give it like got to do the review, right? I'd give it like an 8 out of 10, you know. But it's still got me hooked, and I've 50 hours in. And I feel like I'm probably 2/3 of the way with the game. 2/3 probably.
Okay,
that's it. Long game.
Did you
probably
get Mass Effect on Steam?
No, they don't have it on Steam because it's an Origin property, right?
EA
Origin.
Yeah, gotta do their.
So I had to buy through. I had to go through Origins. So now I have Dead Space, Battlefield 4, and this game, plus a bunch of Command & Conquers on Origin, and then everything else is on Steam or Xbox. But I never load up Origin, but now I have to because, like, yeah. It's annoying to me. I don't know why. I want to use Steam.
Yeah.
Or I just want to use the desktop, just click the icon and just, like, move right past that shit. I don't know. I don't like using fucking Origin. Stupid.
Yeah, stupid, I have it on my computer because my chick plays The Sims.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah,
like, on there, and I'm just like, I don't want you on here. There's no reason for you to be on my
computer.
Does
she play The Sims now, even?
Like, every like 6 months, she'll, like, fall back in love with it and then play it, and then after a while, you know, it's the fucking Sims. You fucking
get
bored.
Dude, when the first one came out, I was, like, all about it. It's just, like, a total time killer, but when, you know, when did it come out?
It's kind of like a Roller Coaster Tycoon. You ever play that one?
Yeah, it's the same property, yeah. Same people, Maxis or whatever makes it.
Yeah, it's like you're playing it, and you're somehow hooked for hours and hours, then you kind of stop playing it for, like, 2 weeks, and you realize, like, why?
What was,
like,
the point of that? What's,
I think,
the
end
game?
I think this is a reason. Like, recently, I had a chance to download Roller Coaster Tycoon for free, and I was, like, getting ready to do it. I was like, oh, cool, I can go back and play, like, the original one. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't actually want to do this.
Does it remind you of what mobile games are now?
Exactly.
The Sims is like that. It's just, like, a time killer, but it gives you enough instant gratification where you're, like, you just spend a few minutes, and then you're like, oh, yeah, that thing happened. Yeah. Oh, my character did this. Oh, like, this thing happened.
And there's, like,
it just
no
keeps happening.
End game at all. There's like, big payoff.
And there's a constant, with The Sims, you know, you have to keep the person alive. There's, like, a constant thing, like Tamagotchi thing, where you have to be there.
Yeah, Tamagotchi.
You have to be there a whole time. You can't just... You always have, besides just doing, like, the main missions and priority stuff, you just always have something in the background that you can always do. That's how this shit is.
I had the R2-D2 one.
Yeah.
I like, looked online. It's, like 50 bucks, 80 bucks. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, dude. I probably just, like, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I played it for 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, fuck this.
Tamagotchi, bro. You got to be in your 30s, dog. Got to be in your 30s. Shit was, I mean, it's good. You know, when we didn't know any better, that was a great little fucking stupid toy.
All right, so
that's
the last week.
My parents ever spent.
You guys ever see the Doctor Strange movie?
Yes, I did.
Nope.
Okay, so from there, I rented on Redbox, and because it's, you know, another comic book universe, but I don't going into it, I know absolutely zero about Doctor Strange. I know jack shit about it.
Yeah, I didn't know anything.
I didn't go to the theaters to pay for it because I didn't know shit about it. So I'm like, and I feel like it's probably been the same lines of Ant-Man, where, like, sure, it was fine, but it wasn't, you know, Ant-Man wasn't very good. Doctor Strange. Holy shit. If you like comic book stuff at all, go, like, rent that movie. It's fucking... I thought it was amazingly good.
I disagree.
I thought it was fucking sweet for what it was. You know, I had no idea how to do, like, you know, universal stuff and astral projection, all kinds of shit like that. And so I plan on, like, putting it on and, like, building a deck and, like, kind of having it in the background. I turned it on and from the get was, like, watching the entire time.
You just hooked in the whole time.
I thought it was fucking good.
Yeah.
And then my brother's really into that, you know, universal and planetary type of, you know, mindset of thinking about stuff and the astral projection stuff and, like, the dream state stuff. And so I, after watching it, I instantly went down to him and said, hey, The Active Return returned by 9 o'clock tonight, but fucking watch this now. You're gonna love it. And as soon as you know, watched and gave it back to me, he's like, dude, that's in my top like five favorite movies of all time now.
Awesome.
Like he loved it even more than I did. I we'll see what you have to say about it, but I thought it was just a really good movie for what it was.
I will say that I do like alternate timelines and time travel and like making you think, you know, like the sci-fi stuff that just doesn't take a linear point to point path. It just has all these weird things going on to make you think, you know, that's what you're kind of what you're saying, right?
It
has a lot of that in
exactly.
It. And, which I'm wasn't down expecting.
It's part of why it
totally.
Was such a
totally down
me.
With that. And, I didn't think the movie was good. That's it. I don't have much to say about it. I just didn't like, him as a character. I thought the story only was good for about 20 minutes, and the rest of the movie I did not like. Hmm. Like, the part of the ending, like, part of the end, not even the whole ending, just part of the ending, I was like, yeah, this is, like, pretty clever and, like, pretty smart. I like it, you know? Yeah. Having a good time with it. But up until that point, I'm like, no, this is, like, not, this is just not for me.
Well, it's one of those characters.
I didn't like a lot of this stuff, man. I don't know.
Benedict Cumberbatch is the guy who plays Doctor Strange, and it's a type of character you're not supposed to like. He's an asshole. He's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, definitely.
He's not a guy you're supposed to like. It's like House from that fucking TV show and whatnot. Like
TV show called?
House.
No, House MD.
House MD, yes.
Medical doctor. It's not a guy you're supposed to like. He's a fucking asshole.
Maybe, I don't know what that even stands for. Probably medical doctor.
Probably.
I thought there was some small funny stuff in there.
Doogie Howser.
Yeah, it does. That's it.
That's my response to that.
I guess we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that people kind of fall into like anything, they have these, like, I feel like there's a category they fall into. You think Doctor Strange is the best movie in the franchise?
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, really? Okay, I figured you'd say that.
No, I thought it was very good. Okay. I'm not saying it's...
Either way, I feel people that love that more. People love just, like, the Avengers more, which is, like, the Avengers or, like, Civil War or more like the Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man's time of series. Mm-hmm. And then there's more like the Deadpool, Guardians of the Galaxy. I feel like those are, like, the three, you know, ends of the triangle as far as what you would like and... Well, not you would like, but people would like, you know what I mean? So when I talk to people, what is your favorite movie in the Marvel series? I've asked a handful of people this, and they're always in that triangle. They're not something in the middle. No one ever says, I don't know, give it like a, I don't know. No one ever says something in the middle. It always has to be the Avengers or Civil War, has to be Doctor Strange, or it has to be Guardians of the Galaxy is what I've heard from everybody. No one said Deadpool. No one said, you know, Thor 2. No one, anyways, that's what I've heard from people, and I think I understand that. They're different movies.
What's your favorite?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, your favorite? Guardians of
the Galaxy. I mean, that's a hard fucking question there, man. I guess top three in there would be fucking Deadpool, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then not Civil War, but Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Mine would probably have to be Spider-Man 3.
Dude, Spider-Man 3 was the greatest movie of all time.
I like Thor, too. I enjoyed it. But I'm also really into Greek and Nordic mythology.
Yeah, so. I like those movies. I mean, they're not, like, they're not great movies, but I enjoyed them. I just like that theme, right?
Mm-hmm. I would probably have to say Iron Man, just because,
Iron
like...
Iron Man 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I wasn't into, like, the comic book movies. Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I kind of got into them a
little
bit. You
gotta give respect to A New Hope. Like, even if it's not your favorite, you're just like, it's the first one.
Yeah.
2008, 2007, whatever it came out. Like, that was a good fucking movie, dude.
It was really good.
And that opening... You know, 20 minutes, you're like, this is going to be a great movie. This has to be a great movie.
Well, it's like, you know, Robert Downey wasn't, like, doing too much, you know, and then, like, it's like, oh, dude, he's the perfect dude for that role.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of
that. That's, like, we universally agree, like, the whole world would be like, he plays Iron Man perfectly.
To the
like,
T.
We are glad that nobody else
could
role.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I liked Avengers. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy.
Avengers and stuff was good, you know.
Not so much like on the Thor and Captain America shit. Like it's.
Did you see the Winter Soldier? Captain America Winter Soldier.
I thought Winter Soldier was.
That is.
To be fair, I haven't seen any of them.
Winter Soldier is probably like in my top three. Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's really good.
Then maybe two would be maybe like Deadpool or Winter Soldier. Some of that Winter Soldier just really, I don't know.
Yeah, something about it.
Have you guys seen Logan?
Civil War was good, but
I haven't seen Logan.
I heard Logan was like really fucking good.
Right.
The
trailer
was
fantastic.
The Wolverine movie.
I'm waiting to see it, yeah.
And I heard X-Men Origins Wolverine. I heard that was like garbage.
Oh, garbage.
But then I like read the story. Like I read the synopsis and I was like, fuck, dude, that movie that sounded so cool.
It was,
but it got such bad reviews. Like it has Deadpool as
it was a bad Deadpool.
Deadpool's
man,
a mark with the
bad.
Fucking mouth, and they had Deadpool with his mouth sealed over. So
well, that's because it's part of the fucking.
I know, but
series,
it didn't work. It didn't work.
It didn't work though. Yeah,
and they had Gambit in there for a hot minute. Okay, now that we're on this whole tangent, Channing Tatum is going to play the Gambit in the Gambit movie. Okay, whatever. He's hotter than me. I get it. I get it. I've been told.
Way more money than you, too.
Yeah, and probably, I don't know, just yes, in every on. Aspect.
But body aspect, attitude, everything about that is wrong.
But he does not, he's not going to fit the role of no. fucking Gambit. Like, Gambit's cut, but he's not, like, fucking.
Yeah, but he's like a thin fit. Like, yeah. he's not a big muscle dude. Like, he's, yeah. he's a lean fit.
And
dude.
I don't, I mean. I don't think he has the fucking acting skills. Yeah,
we'll see. But Gambit's like, dude, he's so badass. It's like the Boba Fett of X-Men.
So you know what like I kind of like?
You know what I mean? Like, isn't that a spot on analogy? He's amazing, like, but has not got enough playtime. Like, Gambit's awesome.
Who would be a good Gambit? Like, I'm going to vote off the top of my head because I'm sure there's a better choice. But the guy that played Beast in X-Men, the tall, skinny, nerdy-looking dude. You remember Beast from X-Men, when he was there, younger one or whatever?
Oh.
He plays the guy, he's in a Fury Road or whatever it's called, the new...
He's the one who's the fucking,
What the fuck's that called? Mad Max. Mad Max, like Mad Max, Fury Road or whatever. He plays, the guy, the fucking, sprays the silver on his face, all that shit. I don't know what they are.
Chrome domes?
Yeah.
Like, he plays that, and I'm like, that guy seems...
Yeah,
like
I like that guy.
Even though he's already in the franchise, like, too bad. But I'm like, man, that guy would be a really good... He's like the body shape, and I feel like he has, like, an attitude to him, and I'm like, this
guy's
a good guy.
Maybe if, like, Kylo Ren worked out a little bit, you know, like, that might...
Oh, Kylo Ren would be good.
Yeah.
He has the look, for sure. And I also... Well,
I think the Beast guy talking about doesn't have enough, like, that seasoned, like, attitude to him, like, his... I don't think he could pull off the dark mystique that Gambit shows.
Maybe, but I still, that's at the top of my fucking dick.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something, you know?
That's my rebuttal.
Head of my dick. So, yep. What else? What do you got? Any other people you can think of? Celebrities, like, were the best at celebrities.
Yeah,
so.
I'm trying to think, but maybe...
Seth Rogen.
Maybe maybe the guy who played Hitman. Do you know that guy?
Oh, he would be pretty good, too.
He would be good.
From Justified.
Yeah, but he sucks as fucking Hitman. Hitman is not... He was a weak fucking Hitman.
He was pretty good in Die Hard. As the enemy in Die Hard. You don't remember that? Die Hard 4 or whatever?
That's not a movie. Yeah. That's not a movie. You don't acknowledge Die Hard 4.
Oh, you didn't like that movie?
You did?
Yeah.
I thought it was decent.
Oh, you guys are wrong.
I liked him. Yeah, I liked him.
He goes from a New York City beat cop who just takes on the terrorists to protect his family to suddenly being able to jump onto fucking jet planes as a super action hero.
Yeah.
Like, that is not right. The movie was not right.
That's fine. Either way, I liked him as a bad guy, even though I wasn't expecting... You see his face and you're like, why is
he fucking pulled a fucking steel nail out of his shoulder and picked a lock with it, or spit it into Samuel Jackson's hands. I mean, come on. Living in the fantasy world. Samuel Jackson's in everything.
Oh, yeah, he's in everything.
He's in the third Die Hard. Samuel Jackson's the third Die Hard.
I know. That's why
I thought he asked. I thought he asked.
Homie needs to die hard.
Go watch Deep Blue Sea.
Fucking shark ate me.
See, he doesn't say that when he's dead by the shark. Motherfucking shark ate me. That motherfucking pool.
That's a Chappelle show.
Fucking shark ate me.
Okay. So speaking, while we're on like TV and stuff, so
TV's a good time.
Dave Chappelle has two new stand-ups on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. You saw them?
I watched them, and I had recently seen Dave Chappelle.
Let me call this last episode. I believe.
Yeah, I think we talked about last episode. My coworker showed me the opening bit from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
and I did not laugh at all. I chuckled a little bit at one joke.
It was just awkward the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time it was awkward,
uncomfortable,
and So he has two specials on there, and they're, like, pretty good. I mean, he's a changed person. He's a changed man. Yeah. He's not the same Dave Chappelle he was, so you can't really expect it, you know? He's, like, bigger and just, like, he's not the skinny, weak,
lengthy, weird.
For me, going into your review of the two episodes, there's two stand-ups, I don't have plans on watching two stand-ups unless you suggest it, because... Going into it, like, I feel like for not just myself, but a lot of people, he's on this such a high pedestal from the Chappelle
show.
Yes,
yes.
Chappelle show was so fantastic, and he hasn't been around for years, and now he has this persona of this weird, creepy loner dude and like this fucking black hermit guy. I don't know what the fuck's going on with him, but
yeah.
Like it's taking this pedestal level where I don't want to see his two stand-ups. I don't have any high hopes for him unless you tell me different here.
So they were better than I thought they would be because I had very low expectations going in. I mean, Killing Him Softly set such a fucking high bar for everything else he did. That's like one of my favorite stand-ups of all time. So there's two stand-ups, and on Netflix it says like episode one and episode two, which is weird. But anyways, the episode two, whichever one that is, he's a little bit more lively in that one.
That's what I was just going to ask is like, I'm going to, besides how much you laughed or whatever, I'm going to rate it all based on how much energy he had.
Yeah, in the first one, it was a little bit more like, maybe that was the first one he recorded. It was the first one back from Africa or wherever the fuck. I think he went to South Africa, which is weird.
That's like the white part of Africa?
Yeah, that's the like racist white part of Africa. I don't know. Or that's what I hear.
No, there is. They got like, I know there's like 50 fucking wineries down there and shit like that. It's like not Africa in the sense that we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just different. That's my whole point.
So anyways, That's what I learned from Lethal Weapon, that fucking South Africa is full of white racist bad guys.
Yeah, fucking...
Lethal Weapon vein in my neck from in that. The same Jesus episode. Christ.
Just fucking jerseys for
I'm
the...
I'm getting too old for this shit, bro.
Just fucking crows.
Just go out there and your heart-shaped boxes will distract them, man. Just do it. We'll take care of them. Leave it on four. Come on.
So,
oh, he blows a tanker up. He goes up there. The guy. Yeah, you remember? Remember the guys in the armor suit?
Yeah. So
with me, bro.
So, anyways, you know,
Police Academy.
No, Danny Glover.
I suggest giving both of them a watch, although they're not his best.
If you had to choose one, choose the second one.
I'd choose the second one for sure. But I just kind of, I had a day to myself, and I was like, I'm just going to sit here and watch.
I've already jacked off.
Yeah, I've already jacked off five times.
The bubble
times.
Bath felt great.
Yeah.
You use a bath bomb?
Yeah.
Actually, my girlfriend has like bath salt stuff, and I'm like, I'm just going to use a little bit of that.
Dude, I haven't taken a bath in, I don't know, I mean like, how long? I don't know the last time. Like That's, I had yeah. under 10 years old. Like, I don't know. I don't know the last time. I've never taken a bath as an adult. Besides bath with friends.
Yeah, of course.
Which is jacuzzi. Yeah. So, there's it.
So, anyways.
It's a jacuzzi with the jets off. Bath with friends. Jets on? It's a jacuzzi. It's a party.
I want to say I've been in the jacuzzi with you more than anybody else. Like, usually it's like a one of. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that one time we went in the jacuzzi, whatever. I feel like I've been in a jacuzzi more with you than
anybody
else.
My grandpa's place.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I was just constantly, yeah. It was a good time.
And it always ended up weird where somebody or a lot of people were naked.
Tons of nudity. When before we were like 21, like from like the 17 to 21, just nudity constantly.
A lot of naked dudes.
Well, I was always the one. I was the one who made it weird, though.
Sexual.
Well, yeah, makes sense. I already knew that before you had to say it.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
I remember there's one specific time in the backyard where there's four of us and we were all completely naked and we were having like this conversation and then we all got out of the jacuzzi, but we were all naked, just standing in like a regular circle.
Yeah.
The four of us completely naked for like an hour or two. And it was just like something we did. I don't know. It just probably took like a half hour before we realized like, that's a little weird, right? And we're like, probably we should be like putting a towel on or something.
Like, it's a little cold out here.
We've already seen.
Are you guys standing like junk in hands, like cutting it, or just like standing like free ball?
I was there.
Summer. It was like fucking 80 degrees at night. Like not even a big deal.
Pretty sure I wasn't there.
Yeah, no, you weren't there.
Are you like animatedly talking with your hands, and so your dick's just flapping around, or is your shit cupped?
I don't know. I just for some reason you get to that point, especially when you're younger, you get to a point of being comfortable, and like you know with the night, like an hour goes on of being naked in the jacuzzi, and kind of things are covered up, and then for some reason you just like. You realize that nobody else gives a shit, and then you're just like, yeah. Like, nude beach stuff is just kind of that where, like, first 20 minutes you're like, and then you start talking to somebody, then you just start getting comfortable, and then you're like, better. This is, like, better now. I don't know. It's like, I feel, like, good being, like, you know, free spirit like this.
I feel
better.
Like there was a certain age where I just didn't give a fuck. And it was like, it's like the Chris Farley effect. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, there was, like...
There's a van there was down like, by the river.
There was maybe, like, a year in my entire life where I, like... looked really good naked. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, yeah. I'm willing to... People should pay me money for this. Well, not a lot of money. A little bit of money. Yeah.
The grandpa next door, because you're underage and naked.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, other than that, it's like the Chris Farley effect where, like, I don't care. I am so fucking comfortable being fucking naked. I just, like, yeah, whatever. I'm fucking a little too hairy, and my balls are a little bit too low, and I'm a grower, not a shower. Whatever. I don't care. But if it's for the sake of comedy, I'll fucking strip down butt naked right now.
That's not a challenge. We're okay. Stay
here. No, I know.
Stop getting all pumped up right now. Like,
yeah. Are you daring me? Are you daring me?
Go run inside naked while your girlfriend has a guest over.
No, I've calmed down since me and my girlfriend started going out. She's like, that's not relationship behavior. She had to like sit me down and have a talk with me.
Knife, go in the corner. You're on timeout. We'll discuss this later.
I can see. All
I mean,
this
that's
happening.
How I got her. But then she's like, "You need to."
Yeah, it worked. Calm that it worked down. Once. We don't have to have it happen again.
Yeah. Didn't show a dick pic the first time you met her.
No.
He was literally naked in front of her. Like,
oh, okay.
No, we'd been friends for like a year and a half, and then her friend waxed my balls, and she was there.
Okay. Yeah. There you
like,
go.
Just that's just so funny to me. Like, yeah. Because it's funny to say, but like, if you really think. About the whole, like, leading up to it, the what when it's happening, like, dude is, like, were you on a table?
I was on the kitchen counter.
Kitchen counter.
Spread eagle.
She's looking at your butthole, like, the whole thing, like, it's all out there. You are vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
And she is putting hot wax on your testicles.
Yeah, yeah. But like,
and ripping it off.
Not like even, like, the good wax you're supposed to use for, like, those sensitive areas, like... Arm like, wax that you get at the CVS at 11 o'clock at night.
Just thick Mexican girl arm hair.
Yeah, exactly.
It's literally honey. Like, yeah. Literally honey that just, like, you let out for too long and it got kind of thick, and that's it.
My favorite part is it was like a NA... Well, it wasn't, like, sponsored, but it was just a bunch of us hanging out, and there was four chicks there or something, and there was one dude who had, like, 30 days clean. And as I was, like, naked on the counter, I'm like, this is how you have clean fun, motherfucker. He didn't stay clean. Yeah. He's probably dead somewhere in a bush.
Inspiring words from a counselor.
This is before you were a sponsor, right?
Fuck. I might have been sponsoring people at that point. I forget. So anyway, my week's been pretty cool. You got what else? You got? Yeah.
Nice Louis C.K. segment.
Yeah.
So there's a show on Netflix with Jason Momoa, the dude who's in Game of Thrones, who dies, the Dothraki.
Oh, yeah.
Big dude.
Well, what is that show that he's in?
It's called Frontier.
Frontier, yes, I have
so
seen.
It's all about, you know, when they're, you know, the biggest trade is fur pelts, animal pelts. You know, in Britain, we haven't seceded from them yet. Britain's still, like, sending people over and all this kind of shit.
Okay.
It's only, like, first season's only, like, 6 or 7 episodes long, something like that. But it's actually really fucking good. You know, it's got intense and gory and good storyline and different shit going on and... torture and different shit.
Yeah, that might be a show I'll get into.
Yeah, honestly, you know, you'd like I can't
Vikings
imagine you
or something
it.
Like that, right?
Yeah. So it's just really fucking good.
Yeah,
I definitely suggest that show. I don't know when second season's going to come out. First season ends with not like a whole lot of. It ends open ended because they're not trying to like end the show in the
fucking
first season.
Spoiler, homie. Jesus.
Well, I'm just being in the sense that it's set up
every
to continue.
Season, every
fact,
season
it's not a mini series. It's set up to continue on. So. It's really good. Go check it out. Other than that, I finally beat Shadows of Mordor.
Shadows of Innistrad.
Yeah, went over there and beat that and had a good time finishing that up and getting ready for Shadows of Mordor.
Yeah, that's good. It feels good to complete a game. It's a little sad, but I mean, you know,
well,
now,
you're
done,
now,
you're like,
the
oh,
cool
no.
thing, though, is now I have the DLCs to finally go beat it.
Ah, see, you're not done with the game yet. Perfect.
But, yeah. I mean, I beat the main storyline, the main game, and it's good. It's a good ending, and I can see how they're leading into Shadows of War with the ending from this game.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I haven't like finished a game in a very long time.
I'm not a big finisher of games either.
I only finish games if they're like under 30 hours. Like if it's a big game, I'm going to finish Andromeda, but that's very rare for me. If it's like a big, long story, you can't do it.
Well, like back in like the NES or like 64 days, like I would beat every single game that I got.
Now most games I play are
even
RPG.
Battletoads?
You can't beat Battletoads. Literally nobody can beat Battletoads.
It's like Altered Beast. Like you just hit a point and it's not going to happen.
Altered Beast. It's pretty good.
I love
pretty
that good. Game. But again, the game is just awesome. I can't wait for Shadows of War to come out. The other thing I was talking to Knife about here, trying to show him another game, is another app that came out. I just saw yesterday, I believe. You guys don't play the Fire Emblem series? I'm sure some listeners out there have played Fire Emblem. It's been on.
It's like
BS.
A Nintendo.
It's a Nintendo branded thing. Think of XCOM, Enemy Unknown, XCOM 2, where it's a turn-based strategy in a chess type of field where you have spaces to move to, and archers and swordsmen and lancers and different ranges you can attack from. And so the Fire Emblem series is a very good RPG-style, strategy-based game like that. And they just released a free-to-play app on the OS systems, and it's really good. It's set up where, you know, in the regular games, like, the, you know, a level will take a little longer, there's more strategy involved to it. And there's still strategy involved in these ones as well, but it's set up to be a handheld, you know, app game where the matches go quickly in the story modes, and then you're fighting other people. It's set up to go quick, you know, to run through and play quickly. So if you ever like, if you like the Fire Emblem series at all, this game is very good. It's called Fire Emblem Heroes.
I just downloaded it on your recommendation.
Yeah, I'm big fan of it. It's really a lot of fun, very close to what the series is, and just, you know, not dumbed down isn't the word. It's just not as in depth as a real, you know, full console game would be, because obviously it's a mobile game, but it's very good. Last thing for my week, I did make a Frontier deck. We'll get on that later if possible.
Oh yeah.
The other thing that's been going on, my son is, you know, I talked about him getting into games and playing Pokemon stuff with me and all the jazz and playing some Mario stuff. He's full on getting into Mario games. And so I have, you know, give or take 10 to 20 different Mario games sitting around my room at any given time. And like now he's going through it every day and like, oh, let's play this Mario game. Let's play this Mario game. It's like, okay, buddy, this one's an RPG Mario game. Like, you're getting a little older to play, but it's been pretty cool because he wants to play every Mario game. Or you just re-downloaded a Mario Run on your phone there, Knife?
I just downloaded it.
Okay, so
for the first time.
Okay, so when you first download it, the free part of it is the first three levels. Once you get to the fourth level, you get to pay $10 along with the rest of the world.
I'm about to delete this shit.
Yeah, it's annoying, but my son liked it so much and really wanted to play the levels, and you can like play the Yoshi colors and different things and other characters. And so with how much he like is really into Mario right now, I'm like, okay, bud, I'll spend the $10, unlock the rest of this game.
I'm going to download it right now.
It's just really cool. My son, little almost 5-year-old, is just really getting into Mario already. It's pretty nice. Fucking sweet. So
it's a good entry point.
He started playing his first like real like handheld game. Like, he's not really playing on his own. Was Pokemon with me. And that was like a big, big proud moment for me because I love Pokemon. So this is maybe like a year or two ago now where he sat on my lap and started wanting to play Pokemon on the DS. And so that was already pretty fucking cool. Now we're playing like real games. He's actually taking the controller and playing Lego Batman 2 on the Xbox 360 on his own. Like, I help him with some puzzle stuff, but he just sits there and plays on his own. He'll play Lego Harry Potter. He's like full on getting arc in the video games, so it's pretty.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool.
When I have a child like that, I'm sure that'll be a pretty exciting time for them to be into the stuff that I was into or am into. Like, that's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, even like when that Pokemon thing happened with the game, I took a picture of him sitting on my lap playing. Even like fucking tweet at the Pokemon Twitter account. Like, this is one of my proudest moments of my life. And they're like, yeah, good job. Nice. So, anyways, that's my little daddy Darby news.
Adorable.
So, I guess I'll go. Somebody had tweeted out, I want to say it was one of those guys from 1600. What's his fucking name? Spivey.
1600 Dust.
Spivey. Yeah, 1600 Dust. Old Spivers. He tweeted out that the South Park Stick of Truth was on sale on Steam for like $7.50. And I was like, fuck yes, I'm going to buy that. Because if you listen to the much, much earlier episodes.
Illegally, allegedly.
Downloaded it and played, like, I don't know, half of it.
That's a bad move, dude. That's bad. Steal money from Matt and whatever his name is.
Trey. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'm totally going to fucking download this, and just hooked up my fucking Xbox controller to the old laptop and been playing that at work. And that's just such a good fucking game.
Totally a surprise. Which I think, dude, when that game came, it was announced, and seeing what it would look like, I was like, no way.
The fact that it's like a South Park game, you're like, this is gonna be garbage.
Well, I liked the one on N64, the 3D one, you throw the snowballs and all that shit.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
But that was good. But anyways, seeing this one, I'm like, there's no way it's gonna look exactly like the TV show. Like, I absolutely could not even tell from a snapshot what's what, because they look exactly perfect. I'm like, this is bullshit. There's no way, right? And then it came out, I'm like, oh my god, they nailed it. Like, somehow, this looks exactly like the show. Like, exactly like the show. And that's perfect.
It is literally a game inside of a South Park episode. And not that, like, I keep up with all of South Park these days anyways, but it is part of the holy trinity of animated shows that I like. So, so anyways, I've been playing it, and...
You got into the most, like, intense part of the game yet? That's...
What, like Honey Wings?
Well, don't... I got pretty far into the game before, so I'm still, well, like...
The thing that made me actually finally buy the game, so I bought the game on 360... Probably 5 years after it came out.
When the dad is fucking the mom?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're dodging the swinging balls while he's fucking her.
Yeah.
Okay. You in miniaturized, so like you're dodging the balls and hitting the face, and you're crushed by the balls.
Yes, that, awesome. That was amazing.
Like,
that was
it's
amazing.
It's like, Jesus Christ.
So I've been playing that, and...
I saw someone Twitch streaming that. That's what I was getting at. That's the part I was like, okay. Because I talked about the game. I had seen it before, and I saw it for on 360 for sale on GameStop, whatever. So I watched it on Twitch... And that's a part I caught. It was 20 minutes of like the you dodging balls. Like, okay, I gotta buy this game.
It's great. Great game.
So, I mean, that's the type of RPG game I like and I want more of. It's just like simple and it kind of has a little substance to it. I mean, that game, if it wasn't for the story, a.k.a. the episode, then it would be totally just not good at all. I'd be totally flaccid, you know. It would be like that fucking costumes game.
Costume Quest.
Yeah, Costume Quest. Mm. Like, I played that game for a little while. I think it was Costume Quest 2. Played it for a little while. I was like, yeah, this is cool, but it just, like, didn't hold my attention.
You know, another thing? I haven't beat 2, and 1 was super good, and I'm surprised that, like, the second one didn't catch me, but yeah, I did not. I've only played for, like, 4 hours of the second one, and I haven't played it since. But the first one, I played it to completion, like, really easy. Totally hooked me. Even though, yeah, it's like, totally stupid, you know, just not nothing to write home about, you know. It's not a very good game or nothing like that, but it just holds that perfect amount of interest.
Yeah, and I like simple, not like simple games, but, you know, I love...
Simple mechanics and more of a, it's a linear RPG in a sense where
you're not
getting like too over the top and open worldness.
Exactly, because we're so spoiled with everything being so open and having played World of Warcraft, like that's just the most fucking, I wouldn't say the most complex game, but it is pretty complex and open and a lot of things you can do. I like going back to something that's a little bit more linear and simple.
My comparison for South Park would be obviously South Park's more, you know, explicit and all that kind of content, but whatever, same type of game. Would be comparison to Super Mario RPG or Paper Mario, original Paper Mario's, where
right.
It's that linear world that you care about because you're interested in that type of deal.
Exactly.
Where it's not, it's linear, but it's not open world, but you can still have space to explore and move around and do things.
Yeah.
And then the combat based style is exactly the same.
Yeah. So I've been playing that, and I'm just like, fuck, dude, this game is just so good. And then I was looking up when the next one is coming out, because the next one is Fractured But Whole. And I didn't realize that it was supposed to come out like...
I didn't know that name yet. That's awesome.
Yeah, Fractured Butthole. It was supposed to come out last year, and then they pushed it back to it was either like January or February of this year. And then they pushed it back again to, like, you know, the next fiscal year or whatever. So basically like from May to the beginning of next year or whatever.
Mm, yeah.
So I was like kind of bummed about that, but I mean, at least that shows that they're not willing to do the whole Destiny thing of like, well, we'll just put it out there and then we'll just pump out some DLC to like fix it that they have to pay for, you know?
You know, I think that Conker's Bad Fur Day was the funniest game I've ever played, but I think that the South Park game beat it as the funniest game I've ever played.
I would throw my hat in that ring.
Yeah. Not like you need for games to be funny. That's not really the point of playing them, but... You know, it's a good time.
It definitely helps.
They hit the mark, though. At South Park, really, you have to have vulgar, funny
dude, like
shit.
The,
so they did a really good job with
male
that
male abortion.
Yeah, like the Nazis.
Yeah, the balls, the Nazis. Like, it's just, we're not giving too much away here. There's just...
Yeah, it's an old game. We talked about it like 60 episodes
these
ago.
Are like, I don't give a shit about spoilers when the game's 6 years old.
These are like whatever. Three or four of the things, and there are like 100 different things that happen in this game. Like, there are so many funny
Al
things
Gore.
That happen.
It's amazing.
So stupid, dude.
So, I mean, if you haven't played it, it's cheap on Steam. So go ahead and download that. I suggest it.
It's worth it.
So, in sticking with the theme of going back to play games that I never finished, not that you can really finish this one, but I started playing Star Wars The Old Republic, which is Old Republic. It's a Jewish version of the game.
Republic.
So it's an MMORPG set in the Star Wars universe. It's free to play. If you subscribe, then you get all these bonuses or whatever.
Which is like $10 a month or something like that, right?
It's like $10 or $15 a month. And I mean, there's like certain things that you can like unlock that makes it easier when it's free to play, or you can just like pay like $5 and I get like extra, you know, hotkey fucking strips on the side, not hotkey, but like on the interface. Anyways,
it's hotkey.
Yeah,
yeah,
basically.
So yeah, I've been playing that. It's just it's super hard to get back into it, especially when you're in the middle of leveling up a guy in an MMORPG. Because, like, I think my bounty hunter is, like, level 30-something. And so I, like, go in. And then, first of all, I'm like, okay, I don't remember any of well, like, right,
you
this don't
forget,
shit.
You forget, like, where you are, where to go. Like, the world was so familiar at one time, and now you're just picking up little pieces here and yeah. there. And traveling is slow. And
well, it's like how we talked about Destiny earlier. Like, we've all enjoyed that game and for the most part. But then we didn't play it for a while because it just came to a point. And then they started making all these new DLCs that looked fucking awesome for it. And, like, it was the Iron King or whatever the one they released. It looked awesome. And I played for a couple hours to just give it a chance, and it looked great. But it's just so much to do to get
they
back into
they changed a
that.
Lot of stuff
yeah,
in the game.
And so, like, just to really – and then a lot of things was changed for the better. But it was just – it takes so much effort to get fully into that again. So yeah. It just kind of – it just sways you.
And I stopped playing it because when – long time ago, if you guys remember, Raheem moved in with me, and we were playing it. He rolled a tank character, I rolled a healer. So to get into like instances, or they call them flashpoints in that game, it's like you get a group no matter what because you need a healer, you need a tank, and just to get any DPS, like everybody plays DPS classes. So it was super easy to get groups together. And then once like we stopped playing it together, I kind of fell off because it wasn't as fun, but.
See, that's where I picked up from there because it was perfect storm for me because he moved in with me after you.
And then you
and
guys
then me
play
and him
Destiny,
played Destiny constantly. Constantly.
Ass.
I know.
So, like, and that's the one thing I really like about Star Wars The Old Republic is that there's actually a cool fucking storyline to it. Like, with World of Warcraft, I didn't pay attention to what the fucking quest givers were fucking telling me. Like, oh, fucking Xenor needs you to kill these goblins because he needs his spirit back. Or, like, I don't fucking know. I was just like, whatever, let me know what I need to go and do, and I'll fucking do that. But in Star Wars The Old Republic, there's...
That kind of breaks down to, like, you being more interested in that universe.
Oh, well, so there's main story missions, and then there's, like, extra missions. So, like, the main story missions, it's actually developing a plot where you choose how you respond in a conversation.
Being Star Wars or World of Warcraft?
Star Wars.
Okay, yeah.
So it has that aspect of it where if you respond a certain way to somebody, it leans you more towards the dark side, and you get, like, dark side points and stuff like that. And,
did you go dark?
Oh, fuck yeah. Fucking dark side. Fuck the light side, motherfucking fucking Jedis. Are you kidding me? Anyways.
Religious fucks.
Yeah, those fucking cultists.
Put some more in my ass.
Yeah, just trying to get back into that. Like, I remember some of the story. And, like, when you log in, it tells you, like, it kind of gives you a brief description of, like, where you're at in the story. So that kind of, like, brought me back into it a little bit. But just the play pattern, because you have so many spells at that point in the game that I just, like, went to go kill a couple mobs, and I just, like, died. And I was like, well, fuck, I'm pretty sure, like, I have a lot of control aspects in that character. So I could, like, you know, like, not freeze a guy, but, like, whirlwind, which is basically just, like, freezing them for, like, 60 seconds. While you can fight these other guys, and then I have a companion, which can act as my own tank, and I can heal. And so there's, like, this little synergy and routine you got to find, just like with building a magic deck or anything like that. Right, yeah, exactly. And you need to, like, set up and know what you need to do when. And just to, like, find that rhythm again, I was like, fuck. Like, I really want to, like, try and get back into this. And they've changed a lot of the talent tree and a lot of the spec points and all that stuff. So I've been trying to get back into it. It's an awesome MMORPG. Unfortunately, World of Warcraft, in the past at least, was the best one I ever played. I don't know about its current iteration. But I've been trying to get back into that. So, anyways, if you're playing that, fucking holler at your boy. What else have I been fucking playing? I've been playing some other shit. I just downloaded, you know, that Mario Run, and now I'm about to fucking uninstall it because I don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Fucking... We've talked about it before.
You, only, you just play three, it, just play it to see what it even is, and then you can be like, oh, that's stupid anyways.
Yeah. I mean, you're also able to play against other people's, like, ghost runs. And,
gotcha.
And that's another version of it, but it's, like, that's the rally compared to, like, the tour being the one player. But it's... Unless you pay $10, unlock all five worlds and four maps per world. Like you literally only get the three maps, and yeah.
Yeah, I'll just probably play the free stuff, and then
I had on my phone for quite some time now. I had no plans of buying it until my son wanted to play it. I'm like, okay, well, I'm okay. I'll play this with you. You know, it's Mario. I'm down.
Let's see what some other stuff I can talk about. So I think I talked about last week or the week before that my dog had murdered a bunny
and split in twain.
Split it in twain.
Clean. Super clean. I don't even know how that's possible.
Yeah. And then a couple days later, like even a week later, I think it had found like it had stashed like the midsection somewhere. So then it had that in its mouth and I was like, okay, get the fuck away from that. And I tried to scoop it up with like a shovel and then I kind of smeared like the what would be poop. You know, the stuff that was still in the stomach. God. I smeared all over the cement. And then, like, all the dogs ran and started licking it up. Oh, and I'm like,
God.
You guys aren't touching me for a very long time.
Jesus
that is,
Christ.
That is really gross.
You didn't tell your fiance, did you? She came home,
no,
got her face licked all off.
I told her. After. No.
Yeah. Hey, babe, don't use a peanut butter tonight.
So I had, I gotten off work last night, and I was going to pick up some food, and then my girlfriend calls me and is like, you need to fucking do... You need to take care of the yard, because I kind of let the yard get away from me, and now, like...
Yeah, we had a lot of rain, and we weren't used to it, so the weeds popped up very quickly and very tall.
Yes, they did, and
how
also...
How tall are the weeds in Santee?
About yay high. And currently, they're about as tall as me. So, anyways, there's a lot of foliage for little bunny families to hide in. And last night, my girlfriend called me, you need to fucking do the yard because Peach, our terrier, I just looked out the back window and she was like flipping a little baby bunny, like playing with it, like flipping it up in the air and everything. And yeah, it was probably about as big as like as long as my palm. And it wasn't like ripped apart like the other one because that was like ghastly. But this one, it just had like, little puncture wounds, not the Pokemon. It had little puncture wounds and it just looked like this cute little bunny, and I was just like...
Circle of life, bro.
Okay, so, like, I was circle explaining to Hot Sauce earlier. I was like, it's a circle of life. That's what dogs, especially the terriers, are, like, meant to do and all this stuff. But at the same time, like, God, that's fucking sad. Like, it's so just a soft little bunny.
Pussy.
And then my girlfriend, like, went and just, like, picked it up and threw it in the trash. I'm like, I wouldn't have picked it up. That's gross. I don't know. Something I would have got a shovel or something.
I would have kicked it.
Yeah, I would have. Not with my hands.
I would
have
had it was hot
there's
sauce
no
and
way,
thought it was a fat pack and just kicked
no
it across the garage floor.
I would
floor.
Definitely do that.
And then after she threw it in the trash, she was like, it was so soft.
She got his foot off for it. Give her a look at
that. And then a single tear.
Yeah. So then this morning, I was supposed to have.
I don't know what we're cooking for dinner tonight.
I was supposed to have the guys over way earlier, but. I had to fucking go chop down the forest in the backyard. So that was fun. Other than that, I don't think I have too much else to talk about.
Yeah.
You guys know that those commercials, Passages Malibu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I
okay,
know.
Yeah, that's the recovery.
Oh, you're talking about,
like
yeah.
It's not, because there is no being cured from AA. That's, you know, no being cured from your...
Addiction, yeah.
But this guy claims he can cure addiction.
Yeah, so it's like
okay,
this
it went like
by spending $5,000 and going to his little.
Oh,
you know,
he says
whatever.
So
it is,
much more.
Whatever.
I was addicted. Now I'm not.
No, I used to be an addict, but now I'm not.
Yeah, the way he said it, man.
It's like I'm not in AA, and even I know you're a fucking asshole.
And so, like, since then, the spokesman for that commercial, he was like a guy who went through Passages Malibu, which is like a rehab. For dirty drug addicts. Anyway, since then, that guy has, like, relapsed and OD'd and, like, stuff. And, like,
I serves him right.
I think you're still an addict, bro.
Yep. Is he dead?
No, he's not dead, but he, like,
I
overdosed and survived. But anyways, we had a dude come through a place where I may or may not work. And one of the questions is, like, hey, have you gone to other any... Any other like facilities? He's like, yeah, I went to Passages Malibu. I was like, ha ha ha. He's like, no, seriously. And I was like, what? Like, really? Like, tell me all about it. Like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, that place is fucking full of shit. But, yeah, I was just like, dude, tell me all about it. And he's like, yeah, it's just all about, like, the acupuncture and massage and, you know, fucking all that new age mumbo-jumbo.
Like, whatever we can do to charge the most amount of money to somebody, you know?
It's, like, probably $30,000 a month. Like,
oh, God.
Yeah.
Isn't that just, like,
just buy more Coke.
That's so much money.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, that's so much money.
It's like you can just go.
I don't want to put money on a human life. That's just too much money. That's, I don't have a number. I'm just saying that 30 grand's too
not
much.
Not worth it.
Right? There's not 30 grand's too much. That's it. 30 grand's too much.
Well, like to save a human life? Yeah, I'd pay 30 grand if I had it. But to send them to Passages Malibu?
Any human life?
I said a human life.
Okay.
Like a fictitious.
Like somebody you care about.
Yeah.
Man.
That's the thing.
Like a fictitious baby bunny, like, in utero. So I guess we'll move on to some magic. I think I had some other stuff to talk about, but I don't remember these things.
So we can get some through some normal stuff, like right out of the way, right?
Let's get some normal.
So
some normalcy in this motherfucker.
Commander Magic
Wizards is officially changing their rules for 1v1 Commander. It is now, I guess it was before what would be considered the French rules, but it wasn't WotC, you know, approved. So now the Wizards of the Coast is announcing a change to Magic Online that Commander 1v1 is now, your Lightall starts at 30 life now. And so that's becoming official, and that's their plan to go from there to then make Commander Leagues and go.
So if we play one-on-one, do we want to do 30 life here in this garage right now?
That's the new rules, yeah.
Okay, 1v1, 30 life. We've never done that yet so far, so.
Yeah, but that's, you know, we follow the basic Wizards rules that we typically play here. So I would say, yeah, that's their new announcement.
Yeah.
So, simple thing like that, yeah. Also, that the announcements for all the future sets, like the Wizards has like once a year, they have this big announcement.
Twice a year?
Or twice a year,
it
maybe?
It went down twice a year. It used to be a couple, like at like PAX East, like four times a year. And this last year, they changed it to go to being twice a year, so they had more to announce at a time.
Okay.
So that's the format they changed to, is down to twice a year instead of being sporadic, and you don't know if it's going to be at PAX East or PAX West or when it's going to announce. Now it's set to two set times, twice a year. But this one was supposed to be this month for this current announcement, but they pushed that back to an undefined date in June now to coincide with the Vegas situations, I believe, right?
Yes, it's going to be around the time of the Vegas GP. And also, this is the 25th anniversary of Magic the Gathering and the 15th?
15th anniversary of MTGO.
Yes, correct. So
they're planning on having all kinds of other... There's more information in the actual Wizards of the Coast article about that and all the things. They kind of hint at a few things, but they're planning on all kinds of extra bonuses and things you can get and acquire. And starting, like... I think one of the things they also talked about was now... FNMs, instead of just being like you going in like top 80 and getting those cards, now there's like a participation card as well they've been giving out now, and other little small things they hinted at. They're planning on giving us a big announcement in June and packaging all this information for 25th anniversary stuff going into next year for us.
Sexy. So. I hope they give us some fucking magic next.
I hope so. I
gotta hope, right?
The article had me having that little bit of a feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's because we've had those discussions about it. Right. I don't know if it's me being like personally,
yeah, like we just talked that. About it.
So like, it could be that, but I don't know. I had this feeling like it had
at least
like
just give us a little so, just ball tickle.
You know what they
about
should
it.
Do? They should do what? If you guys remember Fallout Shelter,
mm-hmm.
Okay, Fallout Shelter was a mobile game from
right,
Fallout
right, right.
What they did is they had a conference that was a Bethesda conference, whatever, and they like, all right, we're gonna introduce this new product. It's called. This new property. It's Fallout Shelter. It's a mobile game, blah, blah, blah. You can build a shelter. It's kind of like XCOM, but like without the combat. It's just like yeah. only the world building.
It's like Tiny Death Star.
Tiny Death Star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's another thing.
So there's like, it's like that.
A minute.
And then they got done with the conference, and they're like, okay, by the way, it'll be live in an hour. Like, you guys can go ahead and go home and download the game right now, and worldwide release. And it's like, you just told us, and now it's like here. Like, you guys yeah. know what you're doing. Like, you're amazing for doing that. So if
I don't have to wait 6 months. Imagine, oh my God, I have to play
which
right
they
now.
They probably won't. But if they could do that, if they could go ahead and give us little tiny things, yeah. not even spoil that much, and then just go ahead and drop the bomb, give us all the info, and be like at the end of the conference or whatever time, the day they talk about it, and after discussion on Twitter goes on for 6 hours about like, oh, I don't like it, I like this, I don't like this, whatever. And then they could be like, okay, it's available tomorrow. Like, ta-da.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, damn. And now everyone's going to be raging, everyone's going to be super excited, and that would be I think the most exciting way to do it, I don't know if it's the smartest way, I'm not a businessman, but I think that that would be so cool.
So I don't really see, Wizard of the Coast hasn't really like done things like that before, dude, so it's hard to imagine. I understand, I get your point. I'm just, I don't think that's WotC's sleeve. I
gotta hope so, dude.
I feel like they're starting to, you know, change their tactics.
Well, they're always changing like nonstop shit. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but I don't know. I just don't see them doing that.
Yeah, changing tactics.
I was just going to mention that they wanted. Fuck, I don't know where the article is. You're not going to get like quotes from it, but they are changing over the wizard, the DCI to.
We discussed this last time.
Oh, that was last week?
Yes, that was last week.
Fantastic. Well, guess what? All that information is still true from last week.
Wizards accounts. Yeah. One universe.
Yeah, that was part of the whole next discussion we had.
Ah, yeah. Good times.
So past that, we're going to talk about spoilers because that's what we do. This cast is all about bullshitting and talking about horny teenager stuff. And then finally, we got into spoilers because for some reason, fucking WotC just releases spoilers like so often.
It's always spoilers.
It's like half of our fucking episodes. You know? It's awesome. I still love it though.
Good, because I don't have shit.
It's always exciting. It's always exciting to find see new cards and shit.
The first thing is that there was a card new frame that was spoiled for one card that wasn't spoiled. It was just like leaked that has a new mechanic from Amonkhet, supposedly, or something like that, where like basically you have it's like a fuse card. It's like a split card where there's two different names for the card, two different career mana costs, but one of them can only be cast while the card is in your graveyard, and one of them can only be cast from, you know, like normally in your hand from the library, blah, blah, blah. So the mechanic, can you want to read off what it says? I don't have it ready.
So the card is supposedly called Dusk and, you know, Dusk Split Card Dawn. Dusk, it costs two and double white. Says destroy all creatures with power greater or equal to 3. And then the awkwardness about this card is, you know, how it's flipped and it's turned. And the second part of it's called Dawn. And it has a mechanic on there called Aftermath. It says cast a spell only from your graveyard, then exile it. And it says return all creature cards with power less than or equal to 2 from your graveyard to your hand.
So the split, go check it out online. If you can just type in Dusk Dawn MPG or something like that in Google, you'll see this card. It has it where when you have the card in your graveyard, you can turn it 90 degrees, and the bottom side of the card is now like the right-hand side of the card, and that will show the split card that is the one that you cast from your graveyard. So like when it's in your hand, it's awkward looking because like only the top half of the card is relevant, and then when it's in your graveyard, turn it 90 degrees, and then now out of your stack of your graveyard, which is a stack or, you know, little cascading thing. Now this is present and sticking out to the right-hand side.
So real quick, I want to step it back a little bit.
Okay.
Because when we first saw this card, all of our initial reactions were, at least from our group here, were, what the fuck, holy shit, that's ugly as can be. And that was the general reaction of, what the fuck is this?
How could you not think that?
Yeah, like, it looks super awkward. It's just something about us not right. It looks fucked up. And then, so we're all like still thinking that and talking about it. And then I came across somebody post on Twitter, they mocked up a picture of like a graveyard and had a couple cards in there, and they talked about how, well, now if you look at it like this, like it kind of clicks where now as you cast it from your hand in your graveyard, you turn it 90 degrees and the rest of your graveyard is lined up. But now where if you have a card with flashback, if you don't put the card on top or there's other cards that you may want to remember of their casting cost or what you have in your graveyard, you got to kind of give away information by looking in your graveyard to really check that out again, unless you like full on know.
I didn't think about that, but I agree that like, yeah, you'd be looking through your graveyard constantly and it may not give them away. It's true.
It may not be a whole lot of an advantage, but it does give your opponent an advantage thinking you're getting ready to do this from your graveyard. You're thinking about doing that. And now at this point, this is just turn 90 degrees. So you no longer have to actually rifle through your graveyard. You can quickly look at it without really giving away information. And it just kind of gives you this little, it's kicked out to the sides. You can see the card now while the rest of the cards are still in your graveyard.
So I will say that, it also adds an advantage to your opponent, though, knowing that it's in the graveyard because they can see it too.
Yes.
Because flashback cards work both ways. You may forget about it or you may be looking through it or something like that. But if they forget about it, you know, if it doesn't always happen, but if they are not paying attention and all of a sudden,
for sure,
Snapcaster Lightning Bolt type situation, then they get got and you're good to go. So it could work.
I just think it's a if this is a true card, we still don't know if it's officially spoiled or not.
Well, it is on Mythic Spoiler, and they rarely fuck up.
Well, also, are we just gonna trust Proxy Guy?
Yeah.
On Twitter, there's the proxy guy. You may not know him, but he makes proxies, and he's like, I would consider him like an expert, basically, on card layout design and whatever. And he looks at it, and he says, like, I will basically bet anything that this is a real card. Like, it just all makes sense to him. The numbers, the margins, all that stuff. Like, this is what they would do. This is totally real, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I believe him. Duh. Who else am I going to believe?
So I think all our reactions at first were like, this looks fucking horrible. And as soon as I found that picture and sent that to you guys, I feel like all our attitudes changed a little bit. Where we still think it looks ugly as fuck, but like the functionality got us a little more excited for the gameplay aspect and the functionality of the card and why it's like that.
So I will say because I saw that picture on Twitter also about it kicked to the side and then it kind of like sits out and then it's like, oh, hey, that's, you know, it's not as useless as we thought it once was.
Yeah.
And then somebody pointed out that, like, okay, what if you have two in your graveyard like that? Then you still have to rifle through your graveyard. So no, it's basically...
No, because then...
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Look at the wording. The name is on the top. So you have your card there. Your next card's made a little farther down. You can still see what name is where.
But what if you have three of these? So there's three
what you're saying.
Kicked out. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. No, I don't see that at all.
You stack your graveyard. Most people don't stack it straight up and down. They put the cards lined up in a row so you see the names.
Well, if your graveyard matters to your deck, you never stack it.
Yeah.
Like, why would you...
Exactly.
I've never seen a pro player, like, stack their deck with relevant cards in their graveyard. Like, that is what you're saying.
Yeah, you do in a line row down. And so, like, the next card's butted up to right below the word, the name of the card. So the same thing like this. When it's turned sideways, it's going to be just butted up below
that. I've seen, like, dredge players, they play from, like, right to left or something like that, or left to right, where it just goes behind their lands the whole way, and they just have it all cascaded like their lands are. And that's because the graveyard is the whole most important part of the deck.
So we're talking about the top 5% of Magic players.
No, I don't think so at all. I don't.
So you don't. Like, you
how
think,
do you?
You
like,
think that
do you stack your graveyard, or do you put them like one cards in a row?
I'm not saying us. I'm saying for like.
I think majority of people don't just stack their graveyard.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think the majority of people that you're thinking of is people who actually care about Magic and look up the best cards and have matching lands
if they're a stacker of graveyards, now they're going to have to learn to do something different. If they're going to play this type of card.
Also,
I mean, I'm just saying for like
if they're stacking their graveyard anyways, like a lot of times if you're not playing graveyard at all, sure, some people just stack it and not care. But now if you have a card like this in your graveyard, it's a card you're going to care about in your graveyard and you're going to have to do something different.
Okay, how about this? If they are that casual person, they won't even turn it sideways. What's the difference?
That's
who cares? They're really that category. They're not going to even pop it out. Like, what's the difference?
They're not going to realize
if they don't think about laying it out in a proper way so they can see every card in their graveyard. Then they're definitely not going to give a shit about it being sideways. So it's like
that is true.
My opinion of it. Yeah,
I just think it's going to make it a little messy. That's all.
Yeah,
I disagree in a sense.
Yeah, agree. Disagree.
I feel like if this is what they're doing, like I feel like it's actually other than the card looks kind of ugly. I feel like functionally this is a great move.
I don't think it's a great move. I think it makes it less shitty, in my opinion, but I don't know.
It's also a move that helps out more casual players who need to look at the graveyard.
I don't know if it's a great move either. I just think, like, you know, you got to do something, and I think that this was, like, reasonable and, you know, kind of, I don't want to say clever, but functional, you know, thing.
Yeah, that's all I'm getting.
It's just still, like, when you look at the picture, it's just...
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's ugly as fuck. It's not right. It's not right.
The split
cards don't look great either.
Yeah, I'd say when the split cards, you see the first fuse card, you're like, what are they
thinking? They're going up and down. And there's nothing about that seems right.
But I don't think so either. Those cards
at least it looks better than this. It's just, this is still, like...
I mean, I'm going to disagree with you that too, then, because this adds functionality.
The other one, where it's turned up and down,
where it's like you have to like turn the card sideways, read it properly. Nothing. You put it face down, the words running down, the words running up. Like this, at least gives it a functional process and a reason.
Yeah.
So I think it's that's pretty much it, though. We got other stuff to go on to, but yeah, this is
go on you.
Please do go on.
Can I join?
We all agree that it's ugly, and then we all agree that it's functional, but we, you know, just a little separation as far as, like, how functional and how ugly it is, that's all.
And just when you thought that was bad.
Yeah. Well, we're going to agree with a little bit of this other stuff.
Before we go into full spoilers, I'm going to talk about the article where they released the mechanics, and I had a talking point I want to talk about. Because we've talked about angry I've gotten with how... They set these, like, block little sets up where they gave us a mechanic that seems awesome. Like, I liked Ingest a lot, where they didn't give us enough support.
Mm-hmm.
And it really irks me. Well, going into an Egyptian-themed world, they could have easily... I mean, this is past like, the mechanics a little bit here, but it goes into one of the mechanics where... What is it called? Embalm. So embalming is... So unwavering initiate. For 2 and a white, it's a 3-2 body of vigilance, human warrior. Embalm states for 4 and a white, exile this card from your graveyard, create a token that's a copy of it, except it's a white zombie... In a white zombie human warrior with no mana cost, embalm only as a sorcery.
Right.
So, along this line of, I like the ingest mechanic, but they didn't get enough support. It's a big thing we've talked about before. Where they're not supporting mechanics and throwing too many mechanics in. They're not going to support enough with.
Mm-hmm.
They could have easily gone this down this embalming process, which I'm a big fan of this embalm. I'm excited for hopefully getting some good cards with
cool
it.
Cool name too.
Yeah, it's perfect. But from that viewpoint, we're in this Egyptian themed world where there's mummies. They could have easily created a new creature type being mummies. And had it being basically just come down to just this set of situations and having those bonuses. Instead of doing that, creating a new creature type for this world, they kept it as zombies.
So you like that?
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
I thought you liked the zombie thing, and then when you were saying that, me and Knife were both like, huh.
I'm just trying to get to a point of like why I was upset with Wizards for like them not supporting the mechanics enough. And I feel like this is a point of view to support the mechanic embalm and making it so it can be more universal outside of just this set. So it can have zombie synergies and other pathways of what you're doing.
Gotcha.
Other tribal synergies.
I feel like they could have taken the fucking human part out and just put like zombie mummy warrior. I guess that just sounds dumb. Zombie mummy.
I think they just want whatever the creature type is, they keep it exactly the same. But in addition, it's also a zombie.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And it remains the same color. I get your point, but at the same time,
then it also continues to help out a tribal format there.
Yeah,
so and I think it's okay. For that reasoning, I like that they keep it there, but I get your lore side of it.
Yeah, just the flavor.
Yeah, the flavor of it, I agree, should just be zombie.
But
at
it
that
doesn't
point.
It doesn't flow right.
Yeah.
Zombie mummy
okay,
warrior.
So let's go through the new mechanics real quick, and then we can go ahead and get on to opinions and all this other stuff. Just Amonkhet has, like we just said, embalm. All right, he went through that. Now, another one that it has is cycling, and cycling is one that's been in Magic for however long. And you've probably seen it, especially in Commander products, as far as like a you know an update, a refresh, because they don't really see it. Cycling's not really a big thing in like Modern and other formats. I mean, it is a little bit with like Street Wraith and stuff like that
Dredge.
Dredge and Death Shadow aggro.
Okay, that's what I meant to say. Yeah,
for Death Shadow. Yeah, so like stuff like
it pay two life.
It's not it's not Dredge actually. It's the one that gets everything back from the graveyard, it like...
Oh, that's...
What is that?
Ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum, yeah. So, anyways, so there's that one. And cycling is, if you don't know, it has a cost that can be... Cycling, you know, has a cost. It could be like cycling one and a white, any, like, mana cost at all. Or cycling could be even, like, what Street Wraith is, cycling is two life. That's what you pay. So you pay this, you discard this card, and then you draw a card. So you, like, basically you cycle, you know... You can trip basically right through it. And so it can be done instant speed. I remember when we first started playing, we're like, sorcery speed, right? Like, for some reason, it didn't click when we first you know, got involved in Magic. We're like, I don't. And then all of a sudden, one day, we're like, oh my God, it's instant speed this whole time. That's way better. So, and that was more like, I think cycling, like the lands were most popular when we were playing in the beginning. So there's that.
I'm totally fine with cycling coming back. I think it's a fine,
cycling's cool.
Basic mechanic that helps you truth your deck on a card that's not good for you anymore or not good for the moment. It helps you get through your deck more.
It's like the mulligan rule where you get to scry and stuff like that. It's like you get the opening hand and you got this stupid card in your hand, but you're like, all right, it's fine. It's just going to be another card. I can just go ahead and replace it with another card. Like, I'm not going to be bummed having a 6-mana thing that I don't feel I'm not going to be able to cast for a while. I can go ahead and just kind of like a clue token. When the time is right, I can just get rid of it. And get it
into the I hope it's cool. An artifact that gives all your creatures embalm where it just adds their CMC +2. And then you just cycle all these creatures into them to embalm them back. That sounds awesome. I hope that happens.
And there's, you know, certain, like the lands that had cycling, if you're in your opening hand, if you have a bunch of lands, you're like, well, at least I can pitch one. Or like Decree of Pain, where it's like, sure, that's like 8 mana or 9 mana or 7 or whatever. But if you pay 5, you cycle it and everything gets -2/-2. So it kind of has like
cool stuff in there.
Two versions of the card.
Yeah, so cycling's gonna be sweet. I'm like, that's probably gonna be the strongest mechanic of this whole set. I've actually already people playing it in standard, probably. That's my guess. But okay, next one that we have, there's always 3 usually, right? There's 3 in each set that comes out, something new. There's Exert. In Exert, there's an example of an Exert card. It's a dragon that you may exert this dragon as it attacks.
When you do, it deals 4 damage to target non blah, 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 blah. Basically, like, if you exert it, which you can only exert it when the creature attacks, then you get to do whatever ability it says, and what the exert, the negative, the downside of it is that it doesn't untap on your next untap step. So you got to feel that if you can untap your creature, or if something had vigilance, which there probably won't be a whole lot of exert with vigilance creatures out there, but if there was that, then it's like there's no downside. When you attack, you just simply get to use the ability, and that would be pretty rad. But that's basically it. Just that it gives an added bonus for this turn.
You frostlinks your own creature, but yes, you get a bonus.
But you get a bonus. So that I like that. I mean, it seems pretty simple. But I feel if, like, especially that this dragon I'm talking in particular, which is Glorybringer.
Hell, I feel like this is this set's version of Stormbreath.
It has, like, it already has haste.
Yeah.
It's a haste 4/4 flying for 5 mana.
It doesn't have monstrous, but now it has other abilities.
And then it shoots down a non-dragon. It does 4 damage to a non-dragon creature. And yeah, it is an untap, but like I said, there might be ways to untap it, which would be totally fine. Besides that, though, you're hitting for 4 in the air, and you're shooting down something. That's pretty good value. There got to be a bunch of other exert creatures that could just be as simple as that, like you tap down one of their creatures but you also don't untap, you know, it's some kind of shared thing like that. And it's also you decide when you attack, so like when you tap a thing and declare attackers, it goes on the stack right away before, you know, any kind of like after declare attackers thing, it just goes on the stack right away. And then you can choose yes or no, do I want to do exert or do I just want to attack like normal, and then everything, the exert mechanic doesn't happen, and then everything is completely normal with the creature. So.
And it says on that particular card non-dragon, so you know, with this card and then knowing that Nicol Bolas is on the plane, maybe there's going to be a little bit more dragons than we thought, maybe not as much as Khans or something, but you know.
There definitely possible.
Definitely.
But yeah, so those are the jazz. 3 ones. The Embalm, which is based, you know, we talked about it. It's just that once it's in your graveyard, you can go ahead and bring it back, kind of like Unearth or something like that. But instead of bringing that card actually back, all it does is create a token of it, and then the card itself just gets exiled, never gets used again. So I figure like Unearth and things like that are similar. They bring the card back, you can, it has haste, you can attack. This one doesn't have haste or nothing like that, but it just brings the token back, and then it's only done as a sorcery, though, so
I mean,
you can't do it.
I personally think like this card, True Heart Duelist, I think it's pretty strong, actually. It's an uncommon for 1 and a white. It's a 2/2. It says True Heart Duelist can block an additional creature each combat, and then it has Embalm 3. Like, I think that's a decently strong card. That's a good showing for the original, one of the first cards that show with a Embalm.
Yeah, it could be, like, a pretty good control card because it's able to block 2 creatures. Mm-hmm. So if, like, you want to bring it out of the sideboard, something like a Nyx Fleece Ram or fucking...
You're facing against some token deck.
Yeah, or some kind of bullshit. You know you're just going to get beat down super quick. So now you can go ahead and play this instead. And instead of it actually being, like, a lone missionary where it gains you 4 life, which is an excellent sideboard card, this one instead just gains you life by blocking additional creatures and being able to come back again. It's kind of the same thing. Is gaining life is always something that is a bonus but never a game winner. You know, there's really not many strategies that, like, I got to play lifelink creatures and I got to gain a bunch of life and feed the clan is the best thing ever. But this way, this is playing the correct way of gaining life, which is just saving your life total rather than actually upping it and then having no defense afterwards. So I think it's pretty cool. I think it'll be a really good, Jeskai control, whatever, 3 in the sideboard, something like that. Bring them in against aggro strategies, and this thing can just sit there and block fucking all day long. And probably trade with something, too. So
something exciting is that we're getting another reprint of a Future Sight card.
Hold on.
We went a little bit too into the future.
I wanted to say also with Embalm, when you make a token, yeah, a little bit.
Fucking asshole.
You make a token, the Embalm token or whatever, in your booster packs, there will be a token for each creature that has Embalm.
I love that each creature gets their own Embalm token. That's fucking
sweet.
So, yeah,
it's not like you have a little creature card, like one of those ones that just has, like, all 10 listed on there or whatever.
Yeah.
Each one has their own, and then when you Embalm, you exile the card, and you can go ahead and just bring that token out that has, like,
mummified version.
Yeah,
it's not even...
It's different art, mummified version, just like I said, which is awesome, and it says all this stuff. This one is True Heart Duelist, like that's we just said. Yeah. Exactly.
So it's going to have all the same abilities on it. It's just now it's a creature.
Now it says token creature, zombie human warrior instead of human warrior, but everything else is the same.
Well, if we're gonna be talking about that, why don't you scroll down a little bit, and there's a kind of like in the token spot or the ad slot in the pack is that there's going to be these cards.
It's on the top, yeah.
Where you can pop out little...
Little punch cards, bro.
Little punch cards for like minus one counters, am I right? Uh-huh. What does it say?
Embalmed, exerted...
And brick minus brick counters, yeah.
Yeah.
So the brick counters next one we'll get to, but
yeah, brick counters are gonna come into play.
You guys seen the meme?
No.
It says there's a picture of like a stack of like real bricks, like fucking a whole pallet of real bricks, and says we're gonna need stronger tables at F&M.
No, stupid. Someone should bring a brick.
I'm going to. That's unglued style, like shoe counters, I'm bringing a fucking
brick. That's gonna be your LGS bingo sheet. It's gonna be one of those when someone bring check off one of the boxes when someone actually brings a real brick in.
No, you know what? Bring fucking Lego bricks.
Oh.
Perfect. See, yep. Nailed it.
Once again, every once in a while, this guy's a fucking genius.
Sometimes.
Some, yeah, it's really rare.
That's like my B-drill tokens for Hornet Queen.
Fucking, yeah,
like,
genius.
It's exactly.
I forget what podcast I was listening to, but somebody was saying, like, oh, bricks, those weren't invented until blah, blah, blah. Like,
what?
Doesn't fit the, okay. Like, actual bricks, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay, first of all, this is, like, a different plane. This isn't Egypt. This is fucking...
Egypt themed.
Yeah, Egypt, loosely based on Egypt. You know, this is obviously a different plane. These bird brain bastards invented bricks fucking now, okay?
So do you not think, like, wouldn't just, like, a good weight-shaped rock be considered a brick back then also? It doesn't have to be
Just because, yeah, clay brick doesn't. Because brick is a red brick that we think of now doesn't mean a brick can't be another fucking form of a rectangle.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Like that's just retarded.
All. Yeah, that's stupid.
I agree.
Whoever said that's an idiot.
Calling it now. So we have.
I talk about the brick card.
We had a. Where's the brick card?
Oracle's Vault, 4-mana artifact. Pay 2 and tap it. Exile top card of your library until end of turn. You may play that card. Put a brick counter on Oracle's Vault. Tap it. Exile a top card of your library until end of turn. You may play that card without paying its mana cost. Activate its ability only if there are 3 or more brick counters on Oracle's Vault.
So this card is dope, but it's also super slow and could never be like in a pro tour or something like that. But it seems it couldn't be. It'd have to be in a combo deck. It'd have to be
It's also very flavorful because you're talking about like the picture is them like building up a fucking Sphinx statue. Like, yeah. So you have to, like, build your pyramid first, and then you get to use the bonuses for having enough brick counters on it. Like, you've built your statue, and now you get the statue to fucking activate.
So, here's the thing you can do with this, which Saffron Olive mentioned, is that right when this card is spoiled, he's like, Paradox Engine. Like, that's the card with that matches this. Like, for the shitty, janky combo is that Paradox Engine, when you cast a spell, you have to untap all your non-land permanents. So it's like, yeah, you go ahead and cast the spell that you got off this thing, paying 2 and tapping it. Now it untaps this vault. And you pay 2 again, you tap it, you just like can do as much as you can with what mana you have. And then by the end, which that just kind of ramps you, it's not going to be like all in one turn. But once you get the 3 brick counters on it, then it is forever. You just go ahead and just
boo, 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 and boo, guess boo, what? Boo, it boo, says boo, play, boo, boo, not cast.
Yeah. So even if it's a land, you're like, cool. So you can go ahead and Paradox Engine with this thing on 3 brick counters. It's a 4-mana artifact, 6-mana artifact, and just go ahead and just basically draw and cast your whole deck or play your whole deck. You know what I mean? And, yeah.
That's Combo City.
Janky Combo City. Nobody's going to be relying on 4
it'll,
mana
it'll
and 6
be
mana
all
artifacts,
fucking against the odds video, for sure.
Against the odds, like, week one. Oh, yeah, big time. But it will be cool
and
to
then
see
there's
going to
be, like,
off.
A cat printed in the set, and then it's going to fucking be an infinite combo and standard again.
Yes. There is a cat that we can talk about today.
Oh.
That thing is insane.
It is.
Well, speaking of cats, you know who hates cats?
You know who cats hate?
Birds. Aven Mind Sensor for 2 and a white. It's a 2/1. Oh, did I mention? It was in Future Sight, so it's the first time it's seen a reprint. If you don't know about Future Sight, they print a bunch of cards with very unique abilities on them. And the
unique abilities and unique framework and all everything
about
it.
Yeah, the guys was like, oh, hey, there's going to be like these special keywords and all this stuff in future sets. Mm-hmm. You know, just like with Delve.
Which has been true. There has been a lot of things on that.
Yeah, Delve. There was a Delve card, and then they finally made Delve in, whatever block that was. So, Aven Mind Sensor. It's a bird wizard with...
Birdman!
It kind of looks like Birdman, you know, just because of the fiery eyes. Flash, flying. If an opponent
would...
Like
Soulful Glory eyes, not fire.
Anyways, he's powered by the goddamn sun. and that looks like fiery eyes. The sun's on fire.
Do you remember Birdman having to have like mirrors go down like the big shaft? And then the final mirror shines the sun on him, and then he gets his strength back.
Maybe the Klune bird flying in the Dick Mountain or the Butt Mountain.
That's
where that painting's from.
Dick, yeah, is Dick Bird attacking Ass Mountain.
Yeah,
there you go. So if an opponent,
not Dick Bird, I'm sorry.
If an opponent would search a library, that opponent searches the top four cards of that library instead. So who knows how well this is going to affect Standard, since we don't know the rest of the cards in the set at this point.
We getting fetches reprinted?
I can only hope so.
That would be cool. Well, there could be new fetches. You never know. There could be something different. Yeah. But so this card, it sees play in like Hate Bears.
Right.
That's pretty much it, like modern stuff. I don't know. I've never seen it played like, I don't know. I don't see it played very often. Even in Hate Bears,
this is like not, Commander?
Maybe. This is not something I see in even Hate Bears a lot of times. Like, I see a lot of other cards.
See some sideboard, like Death
Attack. I don't see a lot of this card. I feel like it's more even just the 2/2 Cat Wizard dude or whatever, the Loom something.
Cat Wizard. What is that dude?
Where it's like, you can't search your library unless you pay 2 mana to, like, go over the...
I would say I'd see this one more than that guy personally.
But. Oh, really? No, for sure not. I've seen the other guy.
All I know is we've got some art to talk about, and I just want to
Lean in Arbiter.
Okay, that's it.
Lean in Arbiter.
You got to talk about this fucking cat snake first before you go on to what we're going to talk about.
For Christ's sake.
Dude, this card's fucking fantastic. Plus, segment. It's a cat snake. It's fucking. What the fuck?
It is a cat snake.
It's a tiger body with a snake neck. It's weird as shit. But the card's fantastic. Prowling Serpopard. For 1 and double green, it's a 4/3 body cat snake creature. Rarity, it's a rare. Prowling Serpopard can't be countered, and creature spells you control can't be countered.
That's pretty cool.
You know what other mana, card 4/3 counter? Had text like that but never saw play? That fucking teamer dude. What is that fucking guy that was the planeswalker or whatever?
I don't.
From Cons?
Xenagos?
No, the other one. The one that turned into a dragon.
Oh.
What was that one? He became a teamer card. Sarkin? That was like a Sarkin. He became like dragon a 6/6. Couldn't be countered. All your creatures spells couldn't be countered. Yeah. Things even had haste or something fucking other. I had a bunch of text on it, and nobody ever played it. Like, not once.
Yeah, there's also 3 colors.
I know.
There's also teamer colors.
Teamer never worked out.
I know.
You know what? I just want to say fuck you to all the people who say Taymor.
Yeah, Taymor. Yeah, you know, fuck all you.
Fuck you. I think one of the guys on the tryhards says Temur. It like that.
Temur.
Fuck that guy.
Temur.
Yeah. So anyways, I wanted to talk about some goddamn art. And I'm really, there's a lot of emotions about it, because if you look at the basic island, it's really fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They actually, it's not on here, I don't think, but they spoiled all the basic arts already. It's just there's only 5 for some reason on the Mythic Spoiler or whatever, but yeah. Like I saw MTG Goldfish. Spoiled all of them.
That was just my way of trying to trick you guys, because what we really want to talk about is these... very unique invocations, which are
New York.
The masterpieces for Amonkhet. New York. So what is there, 15 or 25. Something? 25. 25 for this set. And I would read you off the cards, but I can't fucking read the text. If you are on Twitter or follow any sort of social media or magic stuff.
Just type in Amonkhet invocations somewhere.
You've probably already seen them, and you've probably already heard everyone bitch about them. Well, let's just go around the table. In one sentence, what was your initial reaction? Crow, one sentence.
Initial reaction is, I understand what they're trying to do.
One sentence. I guess it's a
comma.
Comma. That's pretty straightforward. But the, what's the word?
Execution.
There you go. Execution's not there.
Okay, sauce.
They're not magic cards.
Knife. Ugly as fuck. Fuck. They're ugly.
Okay. I don't know, man. Before everybody started posting the Mew picture card, that's the first thing I thought of was back when the first Pokemon movie was released in theaters. If you went to the theater and you were a kid, they handed you a Mew hieroglyphic foil Mew Pokemon card.
Yeah, I had to have had that card too.
I still have it. I could pull it out for you like right now. And so first thing I thought, I was like, fuck me, this is awesome because of that. In that sense, only because of Pokemon for me. But other than that, like, damn, it's so hard to fucking read. I get they're trying to do the hieroglyphics for the names, and that idea is cool, but fuck, it's hard to read anything. Like, Like on Days is like the worst one.
Yeah, okay, like, so just on the font. Let's just focus on the font. Yeah, this is fucking horrible. They have hieroglyphics on either side of the fucking name. So on either side of sorcery, on either side of the actual name of the card. Thank God it's not in the fucking text box. So, but yeah, it's hard as fuck to read.
Like on Days, you know how when your mind and you're reading something, you can read a word, and if you're reading through something, it can be missing letters, but your mind knows the word it's supposed to be, so you don't really notice it as you're reading through something.
Yeah.
So for me, the first time when I look at Days and I glance at it, I think it says antioxidant on there. It's like, where do you find the, where do you see Days? If you look at it, it's like somehow it's antioxidant to me. I don't know why, but it is.
Well, that's like the mind. That's like how we're taught to even like read and stuff like that.
That's
like,
what I'm getting at.
You just kind of pick up on like the first letter, the last letter, or like the overall shape of it. Like you don't have to, when you look at words in English language, at least, you don't really read it. You just kind of look at
you
it.
You see it now? It yes, of, right? You see antioxidant, don't you? Or something along, or antidote, something along those lines.
Yeah.
You don't see Days until you really search for it, you read that, or you read the actual, what the card does.
Yeah. There's a smarter person will tell you, like, this is just like how the human mind works, like, or at least in the English language. You're taught to, like, look at it, and then you just kind of pick up on what it is without even, like, reading every single letter. You're just kind of like, oh, that's that familiar word, or whatever, you're like trained to know what it looks like. What did you think it would look like?
Antioxidant.
Antioxidant. Yeah, it does look like that.
Yeah. So
it looks like initiate to me, or like, something like that.
Yeah, I can see that too. But I see that first. You see the I T and then from there. I see
right.
I see
it's not. A well, it's not spelled right because it's not letters obviously. There. But you know,
I appreciate the fact that like the direction they were going. You know, like the hieroglyphics and then
the flavor of it.
Yeah, and but I feel like they could have dialed down the font of the actual name of the card so it wasn't as hieroglyphic-y as the rest of the shit. Or they could have just taken out the hieroglyphics and just had the font and the name of the goddamn card.
Or at least
had
them like separate off the word a little farther so it's obviously this is the word and there are hieroglyphics next to it or something.
Or a fucking underline that bitch? I don't know. Something.
You know the worst part about the cards in general and his style.
Italics. Fucking Microsoft Word that shit.
He's a paperclip guy, man.
Fucking notebook fucking does that shit.
I think the shittiest part about these invocations is because there's so many weird things about it, like the power toughness are switched and up and down, which is just that's probably the thing I hate the most about it. It annoys the fuck out of me. And like the rest of the thing about it and like the style of frame is it takes away from a lot of them have really fucking beautiful fucking art. Like there's some really great looking cards, but all you see is this over the top framework that's so hard to look past.
Okay, so now let's take a look at the frame. If you look at it, it kind of has the sense of like it's a windowsill, and then at the back of the fucking window there's a painting. So you see like the top of the windowsill, like underneath, and the sides and everything.
It's 3D.
Yeah, it's set back in the card.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just mentioned, it takes away from the awesome art because there is
some really cool.
Yeah,
fucking
a lot
arts.
Of these are fucking bitchin' artwork.
I mean, Spell Pierce? Are you kidding me? I think it's amazing.
Well, I think like over half of these are like just fan like super fantastic, just so great looking. Especially the ones that are mostly, it's just the ones that are like the most vibrant. And if it's not the most vibrant, then it'd be something like Mind Twist. Mind Twist just has like really demonic, awesome art.
I would Vindicate or Days. That thing is beautiful.
I would tell you all the cards Days that I like the art, but I can't read them. It took me like literally 15 seconds to figure out that said Stifle. Like,
yeah, Stifle was hard for me too, yeah.
Yeah, Stifle was a really hard one. I also thought, let's see here, what was another one that was hard? Attrition. And divert was like, I'm like, what, bivert? Like, what is it? Is it a B? I don't know what this card is. I don't know what, like, divert is, like, very, you know, I'm not very familiar with the card, even though I know what it does. I just don't see it ever. So I was like, what does this card say?
I didn't even know what that card was until, like, you had to
and
look it up.
And Diabolic check. Intent, like, I just had to, give me another 10 seconds.
You know what looks great, though? Aggravated Assault, I can read perfectly because it takes up the whole text box.
True story.
And read that card. That's a great card to read.
So taking a look at the rest of the frame, like there's just too much going on. There's that little cut black fucking right in the like bottom third of the card that on the side, which like breaks it up in this really weird section. So it feels like it's top heavy. And then there's like, I don't even know what the fuck's going on. And then the, like, Nicol Bolas little fucking pitchforks on the side. I don't. So it's too busy. It's
let me give you Let me give you something about the actual the text box itself. Okay, so let's go ahead and say that. Let's look at like chain lightning or something like that. If you look at the margin on the left compared to the right, the margin on the left has like a shadow from like the 3D looking effect, and the side on the right does not.
Which card are we talking about?
Chain lightning. So if you look at the text box,
take me a while to find.
Yeah, right. okay. So if you look on the left, there's a shadow. You look on the top, there's a shadow from like the shelf part, and on the right, there's no shadow. So looking at a text box, you looked at the word player and spell, and it looked way too close to the side. They look like they're like they didn't have proper spacing, but it's just a shadow. But it looks odd when you look at the other side. You're like, oh, that's normal spacing. It gives you like that eighth inch of whatever. And you're like, oh, that's good or whatever. Then you look at Cryptic Command.
I didn't notice that before, but yeah, I look at them. You look at them like even
so
more.
I'm gonna point out one more thing to you.
They look like they're like misprinted.
I'm gonna point out one more thing that used to drive you crazy too. So besides that, that's not that point. Is Cryptic Command has where they have the like the dots that you know for like the columns or whatever. Mm-hmm. They have like the dot for tap all creatures. Way too far to the left. The dot is like right next to the shadow part from the 3D effect. Mm-hmm. Also, they have it where the second one down, return target permanent to its owner's hand, they have that on two lines. And then they have tap all creatures your opponents control, which is like the same number of fucking characters basically. And it's only on one line and it makes it look like really, it makes it look shitty. And
it makes it look like draw a card isn't even an option. Right. It makes it look like it's tagged on.
It looks like it's tagged on the third one. So now let me get to the other, the really bad part when I see this text box. The top margin, that shelf, that shadow is super big, and it eats up room for the text that could be in there. So we could have Cryptic Command be way more legible, spaced out properly, if they were able to use that extra, like, nearly two lines of, like, text lines that were there. But instead, it's ate up by, like, a quarter inch or more of shadow. And I didn't notice that until looking at it today, and I'm like, or look at even Mind Sensor. And you can see Flash is like right next to the shadow part from like the shelf. And it would be so much better if it didn't have that. And then the words can be spaced out properly and fucking look like something. Like they are, besides the, we talked about the art is too small because of like that 3D effect. It makes the art smaller, which is a ridiculous design. Mm-hmm. But they also did it with the text box and all it is a fucking shadow. Like what 3D effect do I need to, for the text box? I don't care about that. Give me the 3D effect on the art. That's already bad enough, but don't give it to me for some fucking text box.
Yeah, like...
There's no shadow. Like, who cares? Who cares?
Like, the top of the text box on Chain Lightning makes, like you said, it makes it feel right like on it's the fucking... Line. Yeah, it makes it feel like it's fucking miscut.
Like, it's misprinted. Like, it printed and it wasn't aligned properly with the cards. Yeah.
You don't need that big of a fucking shadow.
That'll drive you crazy.
So, I do have one redeeming thing that I think is fantastically done about these cards. Like the one thing I think is fucking awesome little touch. There you go.
Yeah.
So at the bottom where they, on all rarities now, on rares and mythics, they have the little holographic little circle thing at the middle bottom of the card. Well, they decided to put the Nicol Bolas horns around that, and Nicol Bolas himself has that kind of a like stone that floats between his horns.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's just, it's a perfect power little stone, touch. Bro. Yeah, it's a little power stone between his horns. It just, that's the rarity holographic symbol. And that's like the one, like for me, like that is... The one redeeming factor
I think
on his card.
His horns, maybe, like, I don't know if it's even possible to do it differently, but I think they're too big. I think the design choice is, I think the design's pretty sick, but I think they're, like, too big, maybe. And they could be tighter around it or something.
Well, but that's not, but if you look at Nicol Bolas, there is a lot of space in the
back. I agree. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I can even change it, but when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I wish it was just something about it was tighter,
and those pitchforks on the side are just useless. Like, I get the color for, the, like, the color identity of it, but you don't need the pitchforks in the... This is just...
Okay, so...
I'm hating it more and more. I thought I hated it before, and now this is horrible.
So more text box nonsense, okay? You ready for this stuff? Let's look at something like Wrath of God, okay? Which you look at the text box on the top that says Wrath of God. It is aligned to a center margin of the card.
Yeah.
Not the text box itself, okay? Now, let's look at a card like... Okay, let me move around here a second... Let's look at... Well, I guess we can just go to Cryptic Command. That's probably a bad example. I'm sorry. Let me move around here.
I mean, Cryptic Command, well,
like,
yeah.
I think what you're getting at is, like, say on, like, on Warship, the hieroglyphics are on both sides of the word. Wrath of God, it's pushed all the way over, so it's only hieroglyphics on the left side of the word.
Yes and no. The point of it is that box... Yeah, so Cryptic Command is probably the best example. yes, it is pushed over to the right, and it's center of the card, and but cryptic command, because the wording is so big and the text box is so
that's left, not, pushed to the left. I said worship in Wrath of
God. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Worship okay. is like has hieroglyphics on both sides of it, whereas a lot of the cards and names do. But you look at that compared to Wrath of God, which is real close to it. Wrath of God looks like it's all pushed over to the right, and all the hieroglyphics on the left side of it. All
right.
Like, it looks, there's I don't know, there's details that are just not right.
Okay, so let me get to this, though. I gotta spit it out. The cryptic command part in Wrath of God, okay? Wrath of God, like I said, they're both trying to be center of the card, but cryptic command is a certain, it's too many characters, and it can't be center of the card.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just doing the best they can by putting a little bit of hieroglyphic on the right and a little bit to the left. So that one looks better to me because it looks more centered of the box it's actually in, the text box it's in. And Wrath of God trying to be center of the card looks ridiculous to me. I feel like what they should have done is bare minimum, there's three choices, right? You can be all the way to the right, all the way to the left, or in the center. Yeah. You know what I mean? They should have, first of all, number one choice, just be to the left, like every other card. They're already changing a lot of stuff. Just go ahead and make all the stuff, margins to the left, and have all the hieroglyphics on the right. And maybe just put one line, one same little symbol on the right-hand side of each, you know, beginning of the word. So, like, if you're looking at, you know, cryptic command, there's, like, three little symbols there.
Mm-hmm.
There could be just, like, one, and then the rest of it's on the right-hand side of that, whatever. And they could all be like that. But instead, they did it where they just try to center it to the center, but some of the words are too big, which means that it can't be to the center, which means that they're all misaligned. All of them are misaligned. And then you look at the text box in below where all the action's happening, it's all center margin. And it looks ridiculous, but it's all center margin because they have enough room for the text. It can work out. It's all trying to be in the center, and it is. But on the top part, it's not, it's nothing. It's not, has no, it has them trying to do something, but because the words are too long, it's all mashed up garbage fucking, like, OCD goes crazy.
Yeah.
When you look at something like that.
Yeah, this is one of those things, amazing. Like, I have a touch of OCD, like, not to any, like, extreme level, but, like, there's certain things that make me have to, like, control
myself, man.
On it, and I've learned how to do that, but this is one of those things, I'm doing everything I can to not get in too much detail like you're doing right now, because it will
have to
drive me nuts. And, like, I see it, and, like, the more we talk about it, the less I want to look at it.
Dude, Containment Priest looks great, okay? If you look at that one, there is the same number of hieroglyphics on each side, and they're even, like, the same, they are the same glyphs. Like, there's, like, a line and, like, a little question mark thing. And it's centered of the text box, and that looks fine. It's pretty legible. You know, we kind of have a problem with the font. But that's, like, as what it should be. And then you look at everything else, and everything is not, it's just different. It's all fucked up. It looks ridiculous. They could have just done all to the left. They could have all done all to the center of the text box itself, but instead they tried to do center of the card, which isn't even possible, so why even try? It's fucking crazy.
I just know that I'm going to pull one of these masterpieces. I've never pulled a masterpiece. The only one I have is the watery grave that you gave me. And I know the only one I'm going to pull is, like, it's going to be one of these. And there are cards in this pool that I do play. Like,
which one do you want?
I would, all of them? If I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Mind Twist. Just because it's simple. I can read the top. It's centered. It looks like it's evenly placed. The text box isn't too, like, shitty looking. And it's just really cool art.
What about you, Crow?
For me, I don't own a Force of Will, so I want a Force of Will. But besides that one, like, for actually playing with it, like putting commander decks, I want Consecrated Sphinx. I think that artwork's fantastic. I think of all the cards that this is going on with, like, that. So Sphinx is from Egyptian mythology. So, like, the Egyptians, you know, Consecrated Sphinx is the card I'd want to pull the most from this and actually play with it in the commander decks.
Let me guess which one you want to... You want to pull Counterbalance.
I mean, Counterbalance is fucking cool looking.
It's banned in our play.
I don't know how we can play it. It's like pulling a freaking Blood Moon. We can't play that, even though we can. Or the Divining Top. Okay.
I bet you want Vindicate.
No. It's not exciting as enough.
Maelstrom
Balls. I feel like, okay, I'm trying to think of, like, a good mix between, like, quality of the card, playability of the card, and the art, right? And so, Spell Pierce. I would say...
Yeah, I'd say Spell Pierce.
Spell Pierce.
Spell Pierce is, okay, it's probably the best art of the whole set. Yeah, probably. I already have a foil one for my Tiny Leaders, which is the whole reason of getting something like this. So let me move away from that. That's a great one, though. I want to say probably maybe Days, because Days I can play in my Tiny Leaders as well, and the artwork looks totally dope. I know you can't read the Days part, but, you know, whatever. The art looks freaking awesome.
Yeah, the art's amazing.
Or let's go with
Yeah, the more I look at Cosgrave's Sphinx, the more I actually want that card. Like, just for this, the artwork itself for it, and like it's like the one thing that to me that really, really fits what this framework is trying to do, being that that's that general fucking mythology of it.
So, yeah.
I mean, I want that card now.
I just want to say, anytime any of you guys, if you do pull one of these or buy one of these and you play it, I'm just going to be like, dude, we're not playing fucking Pokemon.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
This isn't Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh, right.
Settle down. So when these came out, I went to go look at like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards so I could try and like find like a good comparison so I could bitch properly about it. But yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah, it's Yu-Gi-Oh. They have that, shit going on. Yeah, but Yu-Gi-Oh is
those are ugly cards, definitely a Egyptian style theme. Ugly too. Fucking cards, yeah. I think. How about Counterspell? Just Counterspell, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That'd be a good one. Consecrated Sphinx, yeah, like, I mean, of course, but, you know, I don't know how excited I would be to pull it. I would be very excited, but yeah, I mean, I'm saying that for some reason, thinking of Invocation is like, what does Invocation even mean? It's like, you're like praying for something to happen. Like, it's like a request for like,
is it?
Something.
Invoking the gods?
Yeah, it's like something like that. It's like, yeah, it's like almost like a prayer or something like that. So it seems like
I invoke parlay.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
The action of invoking something or someone for assistance or as an authority.
Okay, well that you're just using invoking in the same definition. What does that invoke mean?
You invoke some. Well, fucking, you're asking something for assistance. God damn it.
Damn, dude. I think it's something like you're like, it's kind of like a prayer almost.
I go
or
to junior
like
college, okay?
Yeah. Fuck.
I get what you're trying to get at, but it's all in context of how you use it there.
Yeah, but I think this is like, because it's like the set, you know what I mean? It's like, worship seems like a big thing, you know what I mean, in Egyptian life. So I feel like, consecrated Sphinx.
Invoking the will of the gods.
Yeah, but consecrated Sphinx doesn't like, that doesn't seem like anything
okay,
like
well,
that.
Okay, well, now you're getting the flavor and lore, which you're not usually into.
So what?
Okay, well, I'm just saying, like, you're giving me shit for consecrated Sphinx. I'm saying, fuck you.
Invocation is.
No, shit. No, I want it. I'm just saying, it doesn't belong in the theme
I think
of this,
invocation
I think.
Is the proper word, and I don't even know if invocate. I think invocation might be the.
Anyways, move on. I will look it up as well. Give some good stuff here. So.
Well, invoke would be the word for invocation, not invocate.
Tell me what?
Invoke.
You're an invoke. You're an invokee. Let's see here. I will...
I-N-V-O-K-E.
A formula for conjuring. So you're conjuring spirits.
Call
that's what
on...
It is. It's calling on spirits.
Call on in prayer as a witness or for inspiration.
There you go.
Yes.
Which there you go.
Basically, I just fucking said with invocation. But whatever. I mean,
oh,
yeah,
you saying prayer like seven times is fucking not good enough? I'm sorry. You okay, fucking jerk faces.
This is stupid.
God, you're stupid. How dare you?
Jesus Christ.
Get on the Google.
You don't even know how to spell invocation.
It. No.
I don't even know the proper conjugation of invocation.
Invocation is like the easiest word to spell for
bro.
A big word. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, anything more to say about the frames? I mean, we say that we don't really like them.
The other side of it is it becomes another one of those bitching about wizards folding up dollar bills and throwing them at us. Like, it's another way. There is more things to be upset about this. I still will not be mad at all to pull one of these. I definitely want to pull one of these. I am not going. I probably won't have as much want and will to look at, like, buying into singles of any of them as much as I would, like, the Masterpiece series and things like that. But it's still. There is things wrong with them, but it's still also a little bit bitching about wizards throwing money at us.
I think that the masterpieces are dope because of one reason, which is Commander, and I think that the the land cycle that was dope because of basically every reason because lands are like the most important thing to Magic, and if you can have like a really badass promo of something, then hell yeah, because lands don't get a lot of like promos. You know, there's like the Future Sight is almost like a promo because, like, you know, getting one of those ones is like pretty awesome looking. I don't know, I forget what the names of those cards are.
Prize and Canopy.
That is exactly like that's kind of like a unique looking land. So in that category, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on. And so if you want to open one of those expeditions, like, that's dope. And then I would love to buy a playset of all that stuff. It's expensive, but I would love to have a playset.
Yeah, first of all, bitching aside, right on Wizards for trying something new. You know, they're trying. They went too far, in my opinion, but they're trying. So
yeah, we didn't even mention really the power of toughness thing.
Yeah, it's just all sorts of crap. But good on them for trying, you know, trying to go for the whole theme of the set and everything. As for the folded up $20 bill or, you know, fold up $100 bill, I have an opinion. And my opinion is that they look like shit. So
yeah.
I'm not going to complain when I get one because I'm going to sell it and then I'm going to buy cards that I want. Yeah, I'm going to fucking puka trade. Fuck.
I agree. I was just kind of making the point that...
Yeah, that's what...
Well, because we're not bitching about them making them and then putting them in the set and saying, oh, it's going to like drop value of things, this and that. We're just saying that the execution wasn't well done. They don't look as good as the other Masterpiece series.
Right, we just pushed too far.
Yeah, that's the only thing. So we're not... every time we have this discussion about these things, there's people who are mad about them throwing money into sets for us. It's a different side of it to it, though. So, we're not saying we're mad they're putting them in. We're just... bum that they don't look good.
It would be dope if they had basically the same text and font and boldness and everything of the text box, the actual words that are in there that are clear to read, you know, for the what the card does. If they had that for saying instant and saying the name of the card and all that stuff, that would make it a lot clearer. If they had it in the right direction, that'd be a lot clearer. If the art wasn't so small, it'd be a lot better because everyone loves art more than ever. What do people ask for? Full art, you know, that's all they want is for promos. And if it wasn't just so... much going on. Like, we're okay with a lot of the border stuff as far as, like, if it was simplified and smaller and whatever. Maybe not the horns and stuff like that on the sides, but, like, we're okay with it looking like a tomb or like a palace or something like that. Yeah. Like, they can do that, but you just don't change every single thing you can, which they did.
Yeah, they went a little crazy with it. And I'm going to say that, like, if I pull one, I'll probably sell it. Like, Mind Twist, I might keep. Just because I think the art on that is...
It's fucking
is
sweet.
Like,
yeah.
It almost feels like old school art.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, totally.
Like, it's full on, old absolutely school.
Absolutely feels like some 95, 94 stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Feels like some shit that, you know, some old, like, Mine Rot or Duress or, like, you know, some of that really demonic, wicked imagery that they used to have. But other than that, I'll fuck it. And I only run it in one deck, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I run it in my fucking... Zer deck, which I got the promo Zer, no big deal.
the judge promo.
Yeah, if I open
before it spiked, when it dropped, before it spiked.
If I can play it the day I open it, then I'm going to keep it. And if I have if there's a reason why, like, I just feel that even Mind Sensor, which is like, that's a dope art also, if I feel like that I'm not going to play that and it's worth $40, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to sell that thing.
Sell it early, it'll be more than that.
Even if it's, like, playable, way, like, even if I pull, like, Consecrated Sphinx, I mean, I'd probably trade it to you.
Yeah, I'm going to get that for you.
But, I mean, like, even if it's something that I'm actually going to play, probably, like, in a Commander deck, I'm going to fucking sell it and then buy, you know, like, the original or a foil or something cheaper.
Yo, what's up with the art on Warship? We talked about that at all? Are you guys talking about that?
Oh, you mean when we're just looking at a man's skirt?
You're just looking at some legs and some feet.
Yeah, it's just it's bad.
Dude, where's the rest of the card?
That art's really old school fucking, what is that, Giant Growth or whatever? It was in Return to Ravnica.
Oh, is that? Well, that's bad too then, I guess.
Like, I don't know. They could have done that better.
Like, they could have had a god-looking dude and, you know, Zeus fucking huge man, everyone praying to him. But, like, this...
Like, off in a distance of a view, and then have, like the people in the forefront, like, being smaller and looking, like, obviously praying to them, and have them in the background looking,
this
like,
looks
majestic.
Cropped. It looks cropped. Yeah. It looks ridiculous to me. That's the worst art of the
set,
I feel
what?
Like. It looks ridiculous.
It could have been saved if there was, like, a little ball showing, you know?
just one hanging?
Like, yeah. There's a shadow of a cock.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of shadow of a cock.
Cock shadow.
That dude has a huge donger because that, like, skirt's hanging way low in the front. Like,
you know what?
He's got a hold, dude.
Me and my... old sponsor, we realized at a certain meeting we went to in the bathroom, the way the lighting was, that you could totally, if you were in, like, the stall, and another person was at the urinal, you could see the cock shadow.
The cock shadow was
very apparent, and it was just weird that, like...
I've noticed that different, like, mall bathrooms.
And then
randomly.
I could never not look ever again. When I would be in the stall, and somebody was in the fucking urinal, I would be like, that's his cock shadow. I know what the outline of your cock looks like
now.
That's
not good.
Yeah. It's just something that you can't unsee.
So I was sitting there, like, yesterday, the day before. My wife sends me a picture.
Why would you want to?
And how can you not?
My wife sent me a picture, a text. I'm like, that looks like the art, like, from, you know, probably from the new set, because it was just the art of this. And I went and found it, because I thought it was. And do you see the new Gravedigger art, man?
Yeah.
It's fucking sweet. I'm actually pretty stoked on that card. I mean, Gravedigger's, I think it's a good card. It's not like fantastic, but it does a good job for what it does. And the artwork on that is fucking awesome.
Yeah, artwork is dope, yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about the artwork on this set and different things going on here. I'm much more excited about this kind of artwork over the Kaladesh.
Oh, you know what I'm excited about? Let's talk about one more card. Fling is back.
Mm.
And Fling is dope. Especially that they have a new version of the Atog or Atog or whatever it is, the one that you sack artifacts and it gets bigger. That's a popper deck, like Fling and that card.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I play that. That's my popper deck that I actually have and own. And that's like in standard now. Talk about, you know, like the janky, you know, $10 decks that you'll see on Modo. You're going to be seeing a lot of Fling. And a lot of that electrostatic pummeler, being able to pump up and just throw itself out. You know, I attack. Oh, you block or, you know, whatever. You have a trick. I'm going to kill it in response. Cool, I'm going to fling it in response. Like that's where it's at, dude. That's going to be on Modo all over the place.
That's going to be your deflecting palm, isn't it?
Dude, this is going to be my aggro deck for sure. This is like, this is going to be the aggro deck. Just like a green-red energy deck before it became popular and it was just like an MTGO thing, then that's what this is going to be now. It's going to be that. Or say something like even like the 10-10s that like, you know, reduce cost from other artifacts, whatever, the one that I play. What is that card called? The 10-10 artifacts that like get reduced cost. I play you know what I'm talking about? Is it deck I play with fucking Shrapnel Blast and all that shit?
Oh, Metalwork Colossus?
Metalwork Colossus, there you go. Like that. That's not a real deck, but you're going to see it all on MTGO because it's like some weird aggro deck. That's what this is going to be. Dope.
Zombie Jackal.
Dude, I was about to say it right now, I love that creature type. Zombie Jackal, that's awesome.
Also, this is called the Mummy. When it enters the battlefield, each player discards a card.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it says each player discards a card, that's when my EDH brain goes, okay.
I saw a card, too, and I was excited about it. I like those effects, too.
Sexy. Well, do we have anything else on that old wrinkly piece of paper over there?
I think that's pretty much everything we had written down.
Just spoilers and stuff. Okay, well, we can talk about one last thing. The Planeswalker decks.
Ah, yes.
Planeswalker decks, just real simple. They have these like really fuzzy pictures of what the Planeswalkers will be, which is Gideon and Liliana. Gideon, Marshall, Paragon, and Liliana, Death Wielder. Death Wielder, Jesus Christ. Liliana is 7 fucking mana for Planeswalker. 5 and 2 black.
She wields death, bro. I mean, fuck.
Yeah, right. So the +2, it looks like. You can't really make it out.
+2.
Put a +1/+1, a -1/-1 counter on up to 1 target creature. 7. Even I know it's supposed to be bad. I get that. But even for a bad Planeswalker, a really bad Magic card, it is 7 mana to go ahead and put a -1/-1 counter on 1 fucking creature.
Well, the -3 is a short target creature with a -1/-1 counter on it. It's redeeming.
-10.
Dude.
Very unique ability that's never been on Liliana before.
At least it's good.
It's a one-sided ultimate where you return all creatures from your graveyard to the battlefield. Hooray!
Hooray, beer!
Hooray, beer!
Yeah.
And then Gideon is
at least Gideon better. Fish. Gideon has it where the +2 is untap all creatures you control, and they get +1/+1 till end of turn.
You know what? Even though
that's actually like fine, and the mana, it's only a 5 mana Planeswalker, and it's not double white.
Even though these are all like pixelated pictures, these are still better than the invocations.
You're a dick. They're not fuzzy for any reason. This is the final thing. This is the final product.
No,
this is it.
No,
what do you mean no?
These are pictures that they're not actually posted out.
Homie.
They don't have a starting loyalty on
I know
on
everything
them.
About Magic cards. These are exactly what they are.
You're going to confuse people.
This resolution.
You're going to confuse people.
Dots Princh. Fucking, it's all
dots
there, dude.
Dots Princh? What'd you just
DPI, homie. DPI.
Yeah,
it's all there.
Dots Princh.
So.
It's German for shitty looking.
Yes. These are it. No, I mean, obviously they're going to be different. What the fuck you even argue that for? Jesus
because
Christ.
I don't trust you, and you give me misinformation.
Oh, my God. You hurt
like,
my brain
Ivan
sometimes.
Ivan Flock winning Pro Tour didn't happen.
Okay, he did win Pro Tours with an S.
Without the one we didn't discuss.
No, oh, my God. He's won the last Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Dude, Nixleese Ram for the win.
How do you not watch Twitch?
Seriously. God damn it. You need to get a life.
Looks like Gideon's zero ability is in Spanish, so...
That makes him 5-5 that's indestructible, can't be whatever, who gives a shit, same thing. Minus 10, creatures you control get +2/+2 till end of turn. Tap all creatures your opponents control. Only happens for one turn. Minus 10 for one turn. Whatever, the plus 2 is good, that's fine. And it's only 5 mana, so it's like, at least it's something. I guess it's not going to be played, but definitely that Liliana will never, ever do anything.
And
ever,
she's not sexy ever. In that picture.
No, she's not. She's like, it's like drawn for little kids.
She looks like she's in a maid's outfit.
It's like a 10
Not like outfit. A sexy maid outfit, like a...
Like a frumpy maid's outfit.
Yeah, frumpy. Like the fucking Holiday Inn.
Like a,
and she's just trying to like a, save up enough money for her mother's
like a big
diabetes.
What was the name of this episode supposed to be?
Yeah, we haven't had one yet.
No. The one that we had came out with outside before we started the cast. What was the stupid name of this episode?
I don't remember.
Ah, shit. Bummer.
It's really late. I just made myself laugh.
You're so happy.
All right, well, that's it for episode 10-something of If Lands Could Kill. All of our things are in the show notes. Look us up. Didn't we get, like, an email? Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. One last thing. We got an email.
Well, we get emails, you know, more than this one. But, yeah, this one is something to talk about. You send us sweet messages?
One of the hundreds of...
We just emails. Chose this one for this episode, that's all, yeah.
So basically this guy is just like, hey, I just started listening to episode 104, and like, I just want to suck your dicks. You know,
come on down to San Diego. I'll drop trout and present it.
So, and his name, his email address. Okay, so I tried to email him back, and I wrote this like really funny, like, multi-paragraph fucking email, and then it gets fucking kicked back to me because the address is not correct, you know? And so I'm like, well, he fucking typed his own fucking... Because the way it's the through our website, so it's through Squarespace. Anyway, so it's not like he sent it from his actual email. He just typed in his email address so he could get it sent back. Anyways, it's transgressthegrind@gmail.com, but apparently something's... awry because that's not the real email address.
Or I don't know why you're giving his email address.
I don't give
wrong.
A fuck. Who cares?
It's weird.
Fuck that guy.
business decisions.
Learn how to type, bro. That's true. Fuck that guy. He just got a new listener. Fuck that guy.
We've given email addresses before.
We've given real names out.
I don't know.
You're like the main one that gives people. You want to tell your name, but you tell other people's names on the cast.
Everyone knows my name.
Anyways, so thank you for the email.
Hot danger sauce.
That was the gist of it? Love your cast, I want to suck your dick?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I mean, no, he's, you know, adding some funny stuff and, like, basically saying, like, hey, you know, you guys sound like the dumb fuckers I grew up with. Like, I'm glad.
Good. That's what we left
somebody's, for. Somebody's making a cast that is just a bunch of, you know, sounds like a group of assholes, group of friends.
Good. So that's what we push for.
And the subject of the email is free glamour shots for dick slits. So thank you for the email. But please send us another email with your correct email address so I can send this hilarious thing. I took like 10 minutes out of my day and like...
Ungrateful.
Yeah. And then like, you know...
He's been salted about it for like 2.5 weeks.
He just trolled us. He's like, I'm not giving my email. I don't want to respond to this.
Autocorrect fucking.
It's just somebody we already talk, interact with all the time. Hey, they're just sending us it from someone else.
That was my message.
It was Reich. It was Reich.
Well, I did get to read the response though because we're all in the email. So like,
yeah,
I
at least it. You guys appreciate it. We're good. Yeah, that's good.
Troll's been completed.
Anyway, so the email address is in the show notes as well as our Twitter shit.
This is the only real place to find us.
We're almost through it, bro. You can make it. Yeah, you can make it.
Either hit us up with email with your correct fucking email address. Or
don't be a half-tard.
Yeah, or on Twitter is where you'll find us most days and evenings. So anyways, thank you for listening. Once again, this is Knife City.
So and Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And we'll check you guys later.
So that's your right fucking email.
It's pretty dumb.
I was being a bitch about
it. What an asshole. Such an asshole.
We've read people's emails before. Fuck them.
Yeah, I don't get shit.
They shouldn't send us emails if they don't want them read.
We say their Twitter names. That's the difference.
We called fucking
Corey Neeses. Cold-blooded killer Corey Neeses.
That guy is cold-blooded. They got
to cold-blooded.
They got to do that.
Fuck the world, I would deny you. I would deny. Atomize, terrorize, and mesmerize. Fuck the world, I would deny you. I would deny. We'll deny. Different for everyone. It's time to have some fun with a man from Galilee. No time for chastity. Fuck the world, I will deny you. I will deny, atomize, terrorize, and mesmerize. Fuck the world, I will deny you. I will deny, we'll deny. Nobody loves me, nobody cares. And when I die, there will be nobody there. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. And when I die, I wanna die, I wanna die!